I want to start out tonight to tell you a little bit about what God requires, what He wants us to do whenever He tells us in His Word that we're to study the Word to show yourself approved unto God, and we're to have no other gods before Him. And if we put anything before Him, it will hinder your healing. But he gives us some instructions in His Word how to do things. And I'm going to tell you how important it is to give Him every day. Start out your day praising Him and worshiping Him, which almost none of us do. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing should be, thank you, Lord, that I had a good night's sleep last night. And I'm refreshed this morning, and I'm ready to go do what You want me to do today. What are we going to do today, Lord? Who are we going to win to Jesus today? Who are we going to get healed today? Or what do You want me to do? What kind of fruit do You want me to produce for the kingdom of God today? Just talk to Him. I mean, talk to Him like He's your best bud, because He is. And He's in you right there. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story about a guy that he's one of the elders in our church, and he's a really, really good automotive mechanic. He really is dedicated to his job. He does a really good job. And so the other day he was so busy, and he'd been working hard all day, and somebody had a Volkswagen diesel that needed a timing belt put on it. And so, of course, he's done this many times. You know, he knows exactly what he's doing. So he pulled this little car in the shop, and this guy, for some strange reason, he needed the car the next day. He had to have it done. And so by the time he got all the parts and everything there, it's very late in the afternoon. And so he thinks, well, I promised this man I'd get his car out, so I'm just going to stay here and get it out. Now, he's been working like crazy all day, just running all over the place, doing things. He's busy working on people's cars. And then he starts on this little Volkswagen, and he pulls the timing belt off of it, and he puts the... I know that some of the terminology I may use may not make sense to you, but there's a timing pin, a little pin that goes in a set of gears to line up everything, so the diesel injection pump and everything is all timed so they'll work right. You can't just put a belt on it and it work. It has to be put on in exactly the right place. So he put this pin in there. Now, you can visualize this. If you drill a hole, a hole through three or four gears or something, and you've got a pin that's just a few thousandths smaller than the holes, well, the pin just goes in like that. It's no problem. You line them up and you look down through there and you get them all look like they're lined up, and you just put the pin in there. And the pin goes in just as easy as my finger went through that hole in my fingers. That's how easy it works. So when you get it in there, and then when you get everything done like you want it, well, you get the belt on it and everything's lined up. If the pin is that loose in there, how hard do you think it'll be to pull it out? Real easy. Just pull it out. It's got a little knurl knob on the end of it, a little plastic knob, and you just reach up and grab it and pull it out. Now then you're good to go. So he got down to that point. He put that pin in there, and it went in very easy, lined everything up, and the pin goes in just like that. He gets everything done. It's now 12 o'clock midnight, and he's, you know, most mechanics won't stay and do this for you at the normal price unless they're really dedicated to the Lord. But this young man is very dedicated to the Lord. So he got everything done, and everything's lined up, and he reaches up to grab that pin, and he reaches up with his hand, and he grabs hold of the little knob, and he pulls, and it won't come out. Well, this is crazy. I've done this many, many times, and before, it's always just whoosh, that easy. But this one, so he works, and he works, and he works, and he shakes the gears around. He does everything in the world, and he cannot get that pin out of that hole. It will not come out of that hole. Now then, in all things, give thanks. See, we don't believe that. But also the Lord says, you're to put no other gods before me. Didn't He? So what's the problem here? I've done this lots of times. The pin is in the hole, but it won't come out of the hole. It went in there real easy, just like it's supposed to, but I can't pull it out. So he goes and gets a pair of pliers, and he puts it on that neural knob, and he tries to twist and pull, and he finally crushes and breaks the neural knob, and the pin still will not come out. So he's looking at this thinking, this is crazy. So he takes a pair of vice grips, and he puts on the pin, and he's trying to twist it, and he cannot get the pin out. He's been working on this thing 20 or 30 minutes, just trying to get the pin out. His wife, she said, I don't know what's going on. Normally I hear him moving out there, but I hadn't heard him do anything in the last 20 or 30 minutes. So she goes out there and she said, honey, is something wrong? He said, you ain't going to believe this. I can't get the timing pin out, the lineup pin. It will not come out. And, of course, being the good wife she is, what do you think her first, what do you think she should tell her husband? Huh? Oh, my goodness. Here's a girl's got the right answer. And this is what she said. Have you prayed about this yet, honey? Well, you know how we are as guys. No, honey, I haven't prayed about this. I don't need to pray about this. You know, any dummy could pull the pin out of that plug, out of that gear. I have not prayed. She said, well, do you want to pray? She says, no, we don't need to pray. I just need to pull the pin out. See, that? How many of you girls know that's the way men think? You know, I mean, that's the way we are. You know, that's I guarantee. Something so simple, who needs to pray about this? Anybody can do this. A 3-year-old kid could pull that pin out of that hole. No problem. But here he is, a 50-year-old man, big, strong, healthy man, and he can't. He's even broke the knob trying to pull the pin out, and the pin stuck in that hole. So finally his wife said, okay, how long you want to mess with this thing? He said, what do you mean? She said, you know, I mean, if you haven't prayed yet, at least we could stop and pray. So by this time, he's really frustrated at himself and his wife. Okay, God, I need some help. How many of y'all ever felt like that? And that's about all he said. Okay, God, I need some help. It's obvious I can't get this silly little pin out here, so how about some help, Lord? Thank you. She said, now pull it out. He reaches up with his fingers and puts it on the pin and says, psh. He said, this is not possible. Who was holding that pin in there? Who was doing that? The Lord. Absolutely. Why do you think he was doing that? To teach him something, right? What do you think he was trying to teach him? But see, he's been so wait a minute, I didn't hear that. I got to get this. Everybody laughs, so there must be something.
Listen to his wife.
Oh, that's definitely something I will have to say. Listen to your wife. And that is true. That's something that men have a real hard time with. You know, when the scripture says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. If you do not love your wife like I love the church, he said, I will not answer your prayer. You know, so most men don't believe that. But anyway, if it's written in the book, ladies and gentlemen, you can take it to the bank. It means exactly what it says. So anyway, here's what I see. This man, which is a great Christian man, which loves God. I mean, he prays for people. He talks to people in his business. But all day today, he has not really spent any time with God. Although he's been so busy getting cars out, he's just working. Have you and me ever done anything like that? We have, haven't we? Mm-hmm. We've been so busy, I don't have time to talk to God today. I mean, there's days we get so busy we ain't even got time to talk to our wife, right? That happens too, see? So anyway, I can just see the Lord now. You haven't told me you love me today. Tap him on the shoulder. You haven't told me you love me today. You haven't asked for my help today. Now, how many of us do this? All of us. And who would ever dream that the problems that you have, lots of the time, is because you don't do what God tells you to do. You don't love him. Somebody said, well, I didn't hear his voice. Tell me that. You don't have to hear his voice. It's written in his word. And not just one place. It's written several places. You're to have no other gods before me. You're to put me first. in everything you do. You're to love me. You're to serve me. You're to worship me. You're to praise me. And you might think, well, how many times have you praised the Lord? Well, let's see. Last month, I think I did. I don't think that's good enough. Do you, Debbie? No, I don't think so. So here's what I see happened here. He had been so busy all day long, and the Lord's given him the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, everything to fix all these cars he's working on. Where did all that knowledge and wisdom come from? From the Lord, absolutely. Everything we do comes from God. Everything. And we fail to thank him and praise him. But when he takes one of his really dedicated sons that is doing wonderful things for the kingdom, and he don't stop once in a while and say, Lord, I love you. I thank you for giving me the knowledge to do this today. I just praise you and thank you. And as we go, just say, Lord, I thank you and I praise you. When we don't do that, he knows ways to get your attention. And people don't understand this. They don't see this. But whenever a mechanic like him sticks a lineup pin through a hole, it goes in that easy. And then he tries to pull it back out, and it will not come out, and he breaks a pair of pliers, or breaks a knob with a pair of pliers, and still cannot get it out. And until his wife comes along and says, honey, have you prayed about this? In fact, you know, that's a standard thing around the ministry. If I get to doing something and I can't get it done, or I'm having problems getting it done, and I've been dealing with maybe 30 minutes or an hour, if Dave happens to come by, and he said, what's wrong, Pastor? I said, Dave, I've been working on this for an hour, and I just can't get this done. Will you kind of help me? He said, well, first of all, my pastor would say, have you prayed about this yet? Well, guess who his pastor is? Me. And he knows I've taught that over and over and over. So, and usually I have to say, no, Dave, I've been so busy, you're absolutely right. I've done everything but pray. And so he'll say, well, why don't we pray right now? And we do. Or like maybe we're looking for something. I mean, we've had several times out in the shop, we'd be looking for a tool or a lift or something or a chain or whatever, and we can't find it. And when maybe I've been looking for 30 minutes, and Dave comes out and says, what are you doing, Pastor? I said, well, I'm looking for this chain hoist. And he said, well, where is it? I said, it's on one of these benches somewhere, but I've looked everywhere in the shop, and I can't find it. He said, have you prayed about it yet? No, Lord, forgive me for not praying about this. Father, in Jesus' name, help us find this horse. And Dave turns around and he said, oh, there it is, right there on the bench. Now, you see how God works? He wants you to depend on him for everything. For everything. You know, and of course, Mike, this mechanic that I was telling you about, once he praised the Lord, and I got so tickled at him when he said, my wife was adamant about it. Do you want to just mess with this thing all night, or are you going to pray about this? Because you know if you pray, God's going to do it. Now see, that wife, thank God for these good wives, you know, that know the scripture. But Mike, he said I was really flustered. By the time she said this about three times, I said, okay, I just stopped and throwed both hands up and said, okay, God, I need some help to pull this pin out. Thank you. And she said, well, pull it out. And he's thinking, it can't be that simple. Reaches up and pulls with his hand, not the pliers. And it just pulls right out. Now, is that something? I told him when he told me that story. I told him, I said, Mike, the Lord was sitting right there trying to tell you over and over, Mike, I love you. I love you, and I want you to do this for me. And I'm since that cell phone went off, I don't think I turned mine off again. So I'm going to turn mine off, I hope. Yeah, there it goes. Praise the Lord. Finally made it. So sometimes I have to let somebody else's go off to remember I still got mine turned on. But the thing about it is, this mechanic and his wife, they're such a lovely couple in our church. And when they first started coming to our church, they had never heard the power or that the kingdom belongs to them. And they can ask the master for anything if you're walking in obedience to his word, as long as you believe with no doubt in your heart that he'll do it. They had never heard these principles. So they came to my church for a while, and they listened. And one day, Mike had had trouble with his back for years. Being a mechanic, they lift lots of heavy things, you know, big old cylinder heads and things off of cars and all kinds of stuff, and wheels and tires and heavy stuff. And so lots of mechanics have back trouble. But you don't have to have. You know, if you're a mechanic and love God and you know the principles of the kingdom, you don't have to have it. But he didn't know that at that time. So they listened to me teach the Word of God for several months on Sunday. They came every Sunday. And then one day on a Saturday, they were working at home, and they were doing retexturing the bathroom. And in the process of retexturing the bathroom, finally, by about noon, he finally just kind of sits down there and says, "Honey, my back is killing me. I just can't go no further." Now, it's amazing how many of us that are Christians that suffer with pain and suffering that we don't have to suffer with because we don't know the principles of the kingdom. And they didn't, although they'd been in church all their life. And they were Christians. They knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But they didn't realize that if you call on the Lord out of a pure heart, he will answer your prayer. And so this is beginning to really soak in on them. And so whenever Mike sat down there and told Gracie, his wife, said, "Honey, I can't go no more. My back's killing me. I got to stop." She said, "Honey, you know Pastor Thurman has been telling us that the Lord has given us the kingdom and he's given us the keys to the kingdom. And anything we ask for in the name of Jesus, he'll do it for us if we got all of our sins repented of." And so she said, "Why don't you let me take this wonderful scripture in Matthew 18:19. Now, we've put that on the board every night, but we're going to do it again. I want you to see these wonderful promises. Matthew 18:19, where Jesus said, "Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them by my Father which is in heaven. For where are two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." The Lord is with us all the time. I cannot explain that, because he's an infinite God and I'm a finite being. I don't know how he can be in you and you and you and you and me, all of us at the same time, and be intimate with us like we were the only human being on this earth. But he can do that because he's God. I can't explain that. I don't know how that works. He didn't really show me how it works, but I know it works. So when she called that scripture out to him, says, "Why don't we stand on that scripture for your back?" They had all their sins repented of. They'd got that down real well. "I do not hear the prayer of a sinner." So if you got a sin in your heart, God won't hear your prayer. And that's what's wrong with so many of us. So many of us hide a little sin. You know, maybe the sin's not much. Maybe it's just grumbling and complaining. Now, I know none of y'all besides me grumble and complain about anything. But God said in his word, "I hate grumbling and complaining. I hate it." And he says, you know, I don't like grumbling and complaining. In fact, he said, "If you grumble and complain enough, I will send the death angel to destroy you." Most people don't believe that either. So we don't know why we're sick and afflicted, but we go around complaining about everything. Some people in church, that's all they can do is grumble. I mean, last week, first part of this week, middle of this week, when it rained like crazy, some people said, "Oh my gosh, I hate this rain. I got my basement flooded. I got this." And they're just grumbling and complaining about everything. And then it dries up a couple of days and it gets 90 degrees and they're all complaining because it's too hot and dry. So who can you please? It seems like, especially us as Christians, we're the worst. But anyway, as they've learned these principles, and learn not to grumble and complain, learn to walk in obedience to God's word and do what he says, she said, "Honey, let me pray for you. I'm going to use Matthew 18:19, and I'm going to ask the Lord to heal your back and take away your pain, and may you never have another pain in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for healing my husband." And he says, "Thank you, Lord, for healing my back." And Mike says every time he tells his testimony, he said, in one heartbeat, I had no pain in my back and I've been instantly totally healed. And he's been healed ever since. They were at home in their bathroom praying the Word of God over him sitting there on the stool with the lid closed because his back was hurting. Does it make any difference where you are? No. God's looking for faith. Now that when you pray, this is, I'm going to show you a scripture. I haven't showed you this one this week, but I'm going to show you a scripture that causes so many of you not to receive your promise when you pray for healing. And this is a tough one. It's probably the toughest one in the whole Bible. But I want you to look at James 1, 6 and 7. James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Look what he says here. In other words, you ask for something, let him ask in faith. How much wavering? Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man or woman think that he or she shall receive anything from the Lord. Is that written? Is that in God's Word? Is that some wild statement I just made, or did I read that right out of God's Word? If I read that out of God's Word, you can take that to the bank. When you pray, you have to believe. And you know what happens? Many of you in the last two nights have come up for prayer. I've prayed for you. And some of you walked away. And I've asked, do you believe you're healed? Well, I don't feel any better. You ain't going to get healed. Guarantee. You didn't believe nothing. I'm telling you, I'm not just trying to be hard on you. I'm telling you how the kingdom works. And he don't bend the rules for nobody. The thing about God, he don't make any exceptions. If he said in his word, he means what he says. If he says, don't go out and commit adultery because I'll judge you, I'm telling you, every human being that ever committed adultery in their life has been judged. Every one of you. You didn't even know when he did it. You didn't know when your children got sick. I've told this two or three times this week, but every time you find a child, especially if they're under 16 or 18 years of age, if they're still living at home and that child is sick and afflicted, I don't care what it is, I don't care how many times you have to take them to the doctor or whatever, I guarantee you got a problem between the husband and the wife. The husband and wife is not walking in obedience to God's Word. If a man and a woman are fussing and fighting, and they may be the best couple you ever seen in church, but when they walk out that door, he's not good to her. She's not good to him. She tells him how to do things. He tells her, I don't want you to tell me how to do things. She said, well, somebody's got to tell you how to do things because you don't know anything. You'd be surprised at the way men and women talk to each other. And you want to know why their kids are sick all the time? That's why. Now, if you want to have your children be well, you and your husband or you and your wife are going to have to learn to walk in love with each other. If you don't walk in love with each other, I guarantee the problems are going to start in your children. In fact, I had a couple in my church just a few weeks ago. 12 years ago was when they came the first time. Actually, whenever the woman came the first time, her husband worked on staff in another church in the Metroplex. She came to me and said, I hear you have a healing ministry and you get lots of results. So I've got three boys and all of them sick. And I want you to pray for my boys. I said, well, how old are the children? She said, the oldest one's nearly 10. And the other two are a couple of years younger. I forget now how old they were, but they were younger. I said, is that all the children you have? She said, well, that's all I have that's alive. I said, you've had other children? She said, well, I had three miscarriages. Okay, so she's had three miscarriages. She's got three that's alive. The one that's 10... The doctors have said he's got a problem with his leg, and within 6 months, he's going to be in an invalid in a wheelchair, and he ain't going to be able to walk. The other two young boys got allergies and asthma, and they're in the doctor's office once or twice every week or two with something costing them money. And when she told me, I said, we're under a curse here in this family. I said, you're guaranteed. All your kids are sick. You've killed three children. You know, I said, you're under a curse from God because of some sin you're living in. And she said, what do you mean? I just want you to pray for my kids and get well. I said, ma'am, that's what everybody wants, but it don't work like that. I said, the kingdom of God don't work like that. That's why the healing ministry has had such a bad name. People quit praying for people in church because they prayed for people and nothing ever happened. Nobody gets well. Hardly ever. You've been a member of a church that prayed for people and nobody ever got well? I'll tell you the ingredient that everybody's forgot. It's sin. You've not quit sinning. I've seen husbands and wives come in and the children are all sick. And whenever I pray for the children, before they get out the door, the husband and wife fighting over something. And I said, them kids ain't going to get well. They said, what do you mean? I said, because of you and your husband. You're not doing what God says. You're not walking in obedience. You're not walking in love. God says you're to walk in love. That's the only commandment He gives you. Walk in love. And I said, we're not doing it. And I told this lady, I said, ma'am, how are you and your husband getting along? She said, we're not getting along at all. I said, oh, ma'am, that's the problem. That's why your kids are all sick. She said, are you trying to tell me my children are sick because of me? I said, yes, ma'am. That's exactly what I'm telling you. I said, you got an unforgiveness against your husband, don't you? She said, oh, yes, I definitely do. And I said, well, that's opened the door to the demonic world. And I said, the devils have come in and they're attacking your children. And I said, y'all have not figured it out. I said, you're not going to get well. I said, this son's going to be in a wheelchair in a few more months, you said. I said, you've already killed three children, those that was in your womb that you stillborn or whatever. You've killed three children because you're under a curse from God. I said, you've got to forgive your husband. She said, you are the craziest preacher I have ever heard in my life. She said, I don't believe none of that. And so she goes screaming out the back door. As she goes out the door, I said, ma'am, you ask God, He'll tell you I know what I'm talking about because I learned it from Him. He's the one that told me. I said, that's the reason you can't get your kids well because you got a grudge against your husband. She said, I don't believe that. So she gets in the car and she starts down the road and she says, Lord, that's the craziest preacher I ever heard of in my life. He's trying to tell me my children are sick because of me. And the Lord spoke to her. He says, Terry, He's right. He's exactly 100% right. Said, He has your answer. You need to go back down there and see Him. She says, Lord, He tells me I have to submit to my husband. He says, the Lord says, Terry, didn't I tell you to submit to me? She said, well, yes, you did, Lord, and I don't have a problem submitting to you. He said, do you know what submit means? She said, well, it means obey. He said, that's right. I told you to obey me, and I also told you to obey your husband. I told you to submit to your husband, so that means you're supposed to obey your husband. And she said, Lord, that's the last thing I'll ever do. It'll be over Frank's dead body when I obey him. And the Lord was very gentle with her, and He said, Terry, it'll be over your children's dead bodies. Do you want your children to all die? You've already killed three, just like He told you. Now, do you want to kill the other three? She says, no. He said, then you need to go back down there and see what He's got to say. So they came back. Or she came back, and she come in and she said, I would have never believed this if the Lord hadn't have spoke to me and told me you were right. So she said, what do I need to do? I said, the first thing you need to do is forgive your husband. She said, but you don't know what he did. I said, honey, it don't make no difference what he did. It don't make any difference at all. You are bound to do what God commanded you to do as the wife. You're to forgive him. She said, what if I don't? I said, just like the Lord told you, your children are all going to die. You want that? She says, no. I said, okay. You go home tonight. You walk into your house and you walk up to your husband and tell him, honey, I forgive you. I will obey you. I will do... Because he's a good man. He's a good man. He's working in a church. And I knew the man was a good man. So she goes home and she walks into the bedroom. He was already in bed that night. She walks in and turns the light on and says, Frank, you and I need to talk. Frank said, told me later, he said, I knew she was fixing to ask me for a divorce and I was ready for one. He said, I had put up with this woman for 10 years. I am fed up with her and I'm ready for a divorce. All she's done is badger me and tell me what to do my whole life. She's never been a submissive woman and I'm fed up with it. I know a lot of men in church that are fed up with a woman that badgers them about everything. That's not what God called you to be. He called you to be obedient and love your husband. That's what he said. And some women will never learn that, so they can't stay married, so they never submit. In fact, the woman that God brought me, Cheryl, the one that had to go home because of death in the family, She told me when God brought her to me and told her that she's to marry me, and he told me the next night that Cheryl was going to, next morning, that Cheryl was going to be my wife. God spoke to both of us in a few hours of rain and told us we're to get married. And we did. That's been 11 years ago. And Cheryl told me the first thing when God told us to get married. She said, "Honey, I've got something to tell you. I've been married twice before. Both of the men were lost. But," she said, "I never submitted to a man anything in my life. Now I know why I couldn't stay married, because I didn't know how to submit." She said, "But I will do the best. If you'll work with me, I will do the best I can to learn how to be in submission to you." And she's done a good job. She's worked hard at it. God has blessed us in so many ways. We have very little sickness. And she has a little bit of problem, but she's not fully learned how to submit 100%. And for Frank and Terry, when they submitted their lives to the Lord and forgave each other, then I told them, I said, "Once you two get your life back in order, you come see me, and then I'll pray for these children." So they got that taken care of that night. Next day they come to see me, and they said, we've got this resolved. She said, "I have forgiven my husband. I told him I will obey him. I'll do anything he tells me to do from this day forward. I will do what God told me to do in the Word. Because," said, "he is a good man. He is a man of God. So I will submit to him." So anyway, I prayed for the 10-year-old boy with a problem with his leg. I didn't see anything happen. Didn't hear nothing happen. God didn't tell us nothing. But the two younger boys that had allergies and asthma, when I prayed for them, I still didn't see any change right then. But this scripture I just read to you, when I pray, what do I have to do? What do I have to do, according to James 1, 6, and 7? When I pray, what do I or you have to do? You don't doubt. That's right. You have to believe it's done. And then you got to stand on that. If you don't stand on it, if you walk out and say, "Well, I don't feel any better than I did before you prayed for me," you ain't going to feel any better tomorrow. You're going to be sick a long time. God is a faith God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He's training you and me how to be overcomers. That's how you're going to get healed. When you get a hold of the fact that you got to obey Him and do what He says, then He will heal you. I guarantee He'll heal you. I've seen Him heal. Since I've learned these principles, I have seen thousands of people healed. So anyway, Terry and Frank, I prayed for their children. They all left. I didn't see anything happen right there that day. Not a thing. The other day, just a few weeks ago, 12 years have come and gone, they came to my church on a Sunday. And as they're sitting there on the front row, I asked a question that none of the boys were with them. All the children are grown now and everything. But I asked them, sitting there together, I said, "So tell me about your life since we prayed for you 12 years ago." Frank said that night that she came home and confessed her sin to the Lord and asked me to forgive her, and I did, and we got back in our love walk, and he said we went back to loving each other like we did before we got married, or as we got married. He said, "I loved her," and said, "She submitted to me. She stopped telling me how to do things. She just obeyed God's word." And he said, I said, "How about your boys?" I said, "How are they doing?" He said, "Well, the oldest one, he's 22. I said, "So did he ever have to get in a wheelchair?" He said, "Absolutely not. In fact," he said, "We were right about 6 months after you prayed for him. We were taking him back to the Children's Medical Center there in Dallas," and said, "That morning the Lord spoke to me and said, 'Frank, today I'm going to put you to the test.'" He didn't know what that meant. He told his wife, said, "Honey, I don't know what's going on, but God just spoke to me and told me he's going to put us to the test." But he didn't say what the test was going to be. So they get to the hospital, and the doctor does the test and the x-rays on the boy's legs, and the doctor says, "My goodness, I've never seen a leg that has this problem, that was this far gone, ever start reversing and going the other way." But said, "This boy's leg is going the other way. The leg is now in a place where we could do surgery, and it might take, and he might not have to be in a wheelchair." And the little boy sitting there says, "Daddy, please let him do it." And Frank thought a minute, he says, "No, this is what the Lord was telling me. He was fixing to put us to the test. He's healed you to a certain place, and he's on the way to completely healing you. But now then, he's going to test me to see if I'm going to trust him or I'm going to trust the world. And he said, son, we're going to trust God. Daddy, please. And he screamed and cried, please, Daddy, let him do the surgery. I don't want to be in a wheelchair. I want to walk. He said, son, you're going to walk. And you ain't going to have no surgery to do it. Because I heard God speak to me on the way down here and said, he's going to put me to the test. And I know this is what he meant. He's going to test me to see if I believe his word or do I believe the medical system over his word. And you know where most of us fall short? We trust the medical system instead of God. And so that's why we don't get anything from him, because that's written in his word. I didn't write this Bible. It's in there. So he said, we did not have the surgery. In fact, we never went back. He said, after that visit, we never went back. And I said, well, how old is he now? He said, 22. I said, what's he doing? He said, he's perfect. Never had a problem, never been in a wheelchair, has no problem with his legs, and run and play, do anything he wants to do. I said, how about the two boys that had the allergies and asthmas? Mother was sitting there, and I said, Terry, I said, how about those two boys? Oh, she said, Thurman, we never had another sign of allergies or asthmas in either one of them. I said, and you said you were going to the doctor once every week or two with those two boys because of allergies and asthmas. I said, in 12 years, how many times have you been to the doctor? You know what that means? Zero. None. I said, am I understanding you right that the 10-year-old is now 22 years old, totally healed, never had any more problems since we prayed 12 years ago, and the two that had allergies and asthmas, neither one of them ever had an asthma or an allergy attack, and you've never had them back to a doctor and bought no medicine in 12 years? She said, that's exactly 100% right. Now, what happens when you trust God? Does he show up? Now then, how many times had this couple been prayed for? There ain't no telling how many times they'd been prayed for. Why could the prayer not be answered? Because mother had an unforgiveness and she was out of line with God's word. That's why so many people that come to me that have children that have problems don't get healed, because the mother and the daddy are not in line. And usually when the mom and dad is not in line, it's because the daddy is not doing what he's supposed to do. God give the husband the spiritual headship of the house. And he tells you, you're supposed to be the leader of your house. You're supposed to be the one that trains your children the word of God. You're supposed to walk in a power, a demonstration of the Spirit's power in your home. When you pray, the same things that Jesus did is supposed to happen in your home. How many men do you know that meet that criteria? Not very many. But if you, God give you the job to be the spiritual head of your house, he told you, you're to read the Word of God to your children. You're to read the Word of God to your wife. You're to be a living example of him walking in love in your home. If you do that, he tells that man, you can come to me and ask me for anything and I will do it for you. I told the story once already this week, but Dave back there, when his little son, after Dave got healed, Dave had been sick 40 years. I mean, he'd been down with an incurable disease and there ain't no cure for it. He'd spent thousands of dollars with doctors and it's absolutely not curable. When I met him, I told him, if you'll do what I tell you to do from God's word, I guarantee God will heal you. And of course, he looked at me and says, you know, Pastor, you can't guarantee God will do anything. Hey, I can. He'll do exactly what he said in that book. Won't he, son? That book is, it's his word, isn't it? I guarantee, and God will do exactly what he said in that word. So after Dave learned these principles, he learned to walk. Yeah, he learned to walk in obedience to God's word. And after he got healed, of course, it took him a while because he didn't know how to do it, but he's learned a lot in the last 10, 12 years. But when he got healed, after he got healed, they started having children, because the problem he had in his body, this eczema that was all over his body, his mother had it, his grandmother had it, and so the doctors, when they checked him and found out all this, they said, well, son, now that you're married, don't have any children, because this is in your DNA. And since it's in your DNA, if you have any children, this sickness will be passed to all of your children. That's what the doctors in the medical world thinks. They don't understand the spiritual world. I've never met a doctor that understood the spiritual world. They just don't understand it. So anyway, I told Dave, I said, Dave, that's not true. I said, that's not in your DNA. I said, that's demons in you because of a generational curse. I said, the Word of God tells us what it is. And I said, that's what it is. So I said, you are going to have to start claiming the redemption from the curse, breaking those curses, and get in this book and study this Word and do what this book tells you. And slowly but surely, it took us 20 total months to get him healed. We had all kinds of, in fact, one day, it's one of the simple little things. Just couldn't get him 100% cleared up. One day I told him, I said, Dave, I said, when you were working for Nortel, I said, I worked in the business world many years of my life myself, so I said, did y'all bid your contracts? He said, of course we did. And I said, when you won, did you gloat over the other guy's misfortune? Well, of course, that's what the world does. We have a party and praise God, you know, for beating this other team. So we gloat over it. I said, did you not know that the Word of God says, if you gloat over somebody else's misfortune, you will be punished? He said, I never heard that. I said, it's in God's Word. I said, I want you to repent. Every time we'd find some little something like that, and Dave would repent and we'd break the curse, it wasn't long till Dave come out on the top side, totally, completely healed, without a sign of eczema on his body, nowhere. Then I told him, I said, now Dave, you and your wife can have all the children you want, and there won't none of them be sick. So they decided to try. They did one. And it was a little boy, and he was born perfect. He didn't have nothing wrong with him. So they tried again. Had another one. Nothing wrong with them. In 10 or 11 or 12 years, whatever it's been, since I've met him and got him healed, him and his wife have had 6 beautiful children at the minister center without a doctor. Didn't cost them nothing. And all those children are perfectly normal. Now, the oldest one, one day after Dave learned these principles, he was sleeping in a bunk upstairs. Well, I say upstairs. It was downstairs, but up the upper bunk, I should say. And the little boy went to crawl out and stuck his arm down through the slot there and fell and broke his arm completely in two. Now then, Christians, non-Christian, if you break your arm completely in two, or your child has broke their arm, they're 4 years old, what are you going to do? Go to the doctor. That's standard answer. Standard answer. That's what we do. We do not have men of faith. We're not there. I was not there. Dave wasn't there. But by this time Dave's got healed, he's getting there. And so he called on the Lord. He said, Lord, you've made me all these promises in your covenant. And he starts calling God in remembrance of all these wonderful promises. He said, now, Lord, you said you will if I walk in obedience to you and your word and do what you say I can ask for anything and you'll do it. So I'm just going to put my little son's arm back together. I'm going to put the bones back in place by hand. And then I'm just going to let you heal it. We're not even going to put a splint on it. Now, who do you know has got that kind of faith? Do you know anybody? Praise the Lord. Dave's little son was completely healed without a mark. Today he's like, how old is John? 10 or 12? 10 years old. He's their oldest son. And you can look at his arms and there, you cannot tell which arm was broken. There's not a mark of no kind on his arm. But Dave stood. Now see, now that right there is where every man is supposed to walk. That's what God says. Every man is supposed to be the spiritual head. But if you ain't got time to put God first, you don't have time to talk to him, you're so busy about going to work or school or wherever else, and you get up in the morning and you go do something, you hadn't got time for God, there's going to be things start happening in your life, like the pin in the little gear. And many of you will have a knockdown drag out trying to figure why that won't work. And you may finally break that pin off in there. And then you got to take all the gears off the front. Maybe you spend all night trying to do something that would have taken you 2 seconds if you'd only stopped and talked to God a minute. Finally, he'll just say, okay, I just ain't going to get his attention. So you work all night long. You break the pin off. You tear up the gear. You do everything. The next morning you got to go pay big money for more gears and all that stuff, and then you put it all back. And by 3 o'clock that afternoon, you finally get the car running, which you should have been through with it at midnight. And you have no idea that during that whole time, God was trying to get your attention to say, I need you to say, you love me. That's what I want you to say. You love me. Because as soon as Mike cried out to the Lord, said, Lord, thank you for helping me, he reached down with his fingers and pulled that pen right out of there. It was perfect. Who could do something like that beside God? You know anybody could do something like that besides God? I don't. But we don't understand how He works. To understand how He works, you've got to get in His Word. Just like this scripture right here. Some of you, if you've never been to one of my meetings before, some of you probably never heard that God expects you to get in faith and stay in faith. You never heard that. That if you don't stay in faith, God ain't going to do nothing for you. But is that what His Word says? If you waver, in fact, let me tell you how wavering can get you. Let me take you to Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24 will show you one of the most awesome promises in God's Word. But it works exactly like it's written. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Pretty awesome promise, isn't it? When my granddaughter was killed in a car wreck 14 years ago, when she was 3 years old, I used God's Word to bring her back from the dead. I used God's Word to heal all the cuts on her face, where she does not have a scar. She's 17 years old today. She does not have a single scar on her face. Her brain stem was severed. Her eyes were jerked out of her brain. Her skull was crushed in five places. And every doctor at Cook's Medical Center told me she cannot live. We pulled the life support. It's over. And I guaranteed them on God's mighty word that she would live and she would run and play. And they all knew I was a crazy grandfather in denial. They didn't know I was a man of faith. But that's the difference. So anyway, after I got her where I could take her home, the doctors were just dumbfounded that she couldn't walk. When I got ready to take her home, she could move her arms a little, but she couldn't walk. And she still was totally blind. She couldn't see a thing. And so I took her home, and the doctors, Dr. Marks, head of neurology, he said, Thurman, we're going to make your granddaughter a motorized wheelchair. Maybe, said, I've never seen anything like this. With the brainstem severed, I've never seen a child that can move an arm or muscle, nothing, because there's nothing to tell them, nothing. The brainstem is severed. But he said, this one can move a little. So he said, we're going to make her a motorized wheelchair. I said, forget it. I don't want a motorized wheelchair. This girl is never, ever going to ride in a wheelchair. She's going to run and play in the name of Jesus. They all think you're crazy. But anyway, I took the Word of God, and I went home, and as we got ready to go, he said, oh, by the way, here's a pump and everything. We put a plug in her stomach. I said, what? He said, we put a plug in her little stomach because there's a flapper valve in her throat that don't work. And I said, a flapper valve in your throat? I said, what are you talking about? He said, every one of us have one. It's in there, and when we swallow things, it closes to let the food go one way and the air go another way. I said, oh, okay, so I didn't understand how that worked. I just, you know, it works. So I just used it, you know, just eat food and swallow it or take a great big breath of air, you know, and sometimes you're in a hurry eating and you take a big breath of air and something happens, go down the wrong pipe, what happens? You know, oh, my goodness, great, you're coughing and all kinds of stuff, you know. Oh, you need to slow down a little. But that's what we do. So anyway, I took her home and I said, don't worry. I said, so I got to put this plug in her stomach and pump with a pump food in there for her to live off of. And he said, yes. I said, so how long is that supposed to be there? He said, well, once those flapper valves don't work, and he said, we don't know why they don't work, but in this accident, this wreck she was in, he said, something got severed, disconnected, and we can't find out what it is, but the valve does not work at all. So he said, if you feed her anything by mouth, food or drink, it's going to run into her lungs and it's going to kill her. He said, one spoonful of liquid in a spoon, if it goes down the wrong pipe, it will kill her. I said, okay, no problem. So I go home and I told him, I said, well, I have Mark 11:24. Now what does Mark 11:24 say? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. With that promise in God's word, and he didn't make that just for me, did he, young lady? Who did he make that for, young lady? He made that for every one of us. Every one of us. But it's unfortunate, this thing of unbelief, we don't believe it. So we don't even think about trying to do it God's way. It's so much simpler just to go to a doctor and let them do what they have to do. And so many times you die or you get something that'll kill you, or they'll put some medicine in you, has a side effect, and it'll kill you. So anyway, unfortunate. So I think I got Mark 11:24. So I said, okay, Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of all my sins. I make sure, Lord, that I've repented, because I know you don't hear the prayer of a sinner. So I make sure now that I've repented of everything. Everything's under the blood. So I'm covered, I'm washed, I'm clean, I'm white as snow, because I've confessed every sin. And that's where you got to be if you want to see God answer your prayer. You have to do that. So you can't, he says, I will not hear the prayer of a sinner. The one that hides iniquity in your heart, I will not hear your prayer if you hide a sin in your heart. So that's why people don't get healed. That's another, many reasons why people don't get healed, but that's one of them. So anyway, I go home and I take that verse and I quote that a few times. And then I go over and I pray over my granddaughter. I said, Father, I want to thank you and praise you. Mark 11:24 says, whatever I desire. And I desire the flapper valve work in my granddaughter's throat. And I thank you that it does. And so now then, I just want to praise you and thank you for fixing the little valve. Thank you, Lord. It's done. And so the doctor says, bring her back every 2 months and we'll check that valve. So I thought, well, it's going to work. I prayed. I stood on God's word. I take her back up there 2 months later and I said, okay, doc, you can check her. I know that thing's working. He checks it. He comes back and he said, I'm sorry, sir. It don't work a lick. I said, you got to check it again. I said, it's got to work. I've got Mark 11:24, and I stood on Mark 11:24, and it's got to work. It's written in God's word. It's got to work. He checked it again. He come back and said, sir, I'm sorry. It don't work. Don't you dare feed her anything because it'll kill her. So I go home. Now then, if this is you and you didn't get your answer, what do you think you should be doing? Looking for some kind of sin. That's the only thing that can separate me and you from God, is some kind of a sin. And he don't hear you if you're a sinner. And so I repent. I said, Lord, I repent of everything. I said, Lord, I'm searching my life. Lord, what have I done? Have I said something? What have I done that separated me from you that I'm not getting my answer? What have I done wrong? And he didn't reveal nothing to me. But I pray over her again. I said, Lord, now that I know I've got everything repented, I know I've repented, and I know I'm washed in the blood, I'm going to stand on Mark 11:24 again. I'm going to ask you to heal that little valve in her throat and make it work, and I'll thank you and praise you. So all that next 2 months, I go around and said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for healing the valve in my granddaughter's throat. Lord, I thank you and praise you. Everybody thought I was a complete idiot. I mean, everybody. Is that all you can do is praise the Lord? I said, I'm going to get my granddaughter healed, I guarantee. I got the word of God. It can't fail. Well, 2 months come and went, and I took her back up there, and I said, Doc, I have praised the Lord over and over day and night. I've stood on his word. I know that thing's going to work this time. He checks it and comes back and says, I'm sorry, sir, but it don't work. I'm dumbfounded. I got the word of God, and it says it'll work, but it ain't working. So here's the thing to do. Go to God and say, God, you messed up. Oh, ain't nobody buying that, huh? So who do you think messed up? If it ain't God, who else is left? Me. I'm the only one. So I repent again. I praise the Lord, and I repent, and I say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I do not know what I've done. I said, Lord, you got to show me. And so I just praised him and worshiped him and thanked him and repented. Every day I repented of everything, anything and all things. And I said, Lord, I do not know what I've done, but I know the problem's got to be with me. I know that your promises are always yes and amen. So I know that you want this girl healed. I just haven't hit the right place. And so I praised him and prayed again over Mark 11:24. And I praised him for that 2 months. And 2 months later, 6 total months now, I took her back again. Doctor checked it again. I said, "Doc, I know it's going to work this time." He checked it and came back and said, "Sir, I'm sorry. It don't work. Not at all." I'm just about dumbfounded. This is where this separates the boys from the girls right here. Most of us, when we get to this point, we think it's not God's will. You know, I mean, I have prayed, and this is 6 months now. You know, I mean, but usually what happens to most of us, if we don't get our answer by tomorrow morning, if you ain't healed or feel better by tomorrow morning, you think, "Oh, that guy didn't know what he's talking about. It didn't work." And when you lost it, when you said it didn't work, I guarantee you lost it. God just left. He might have been in the process of healing you, but when you made that negative statement, he's gone. You didn't believe, and he told you in his word, "If you don't believe me with no doubt in your heart, I won't do nothing for you." Is that what he said? And that's what he means. So anyway, I went home and I repented of everything. I get on my face before God, I repent. I say, "Lord, the word says," and I quote the word, and I quote Mark 11:24 over and over and over. I pray over her. I said, "Lord, thank you for fixing that little flapper valve. I think it's done," and I praise him. Every time I'd go by her, I'd put my hand on her head and say, "Lord, I want to praise you and thank you for Mark 11:24. Thank you and praise you for fixing the flapper valve in my granddaughter's throat. She can swallow, she can eat, and she can drink. She's healed in the name of Jesus." And we do this for 2 months, and 8 months, I go down there the 8th month, and I take her again. I said, "Doc, I know it's working this time. I just know it is." And he checks her and he said, "I'm sorry, sir. It don't work." I come back home. I said, "Lord, I got to have some revelation. I got to have some wisdom. I got to have some knowledge here. I think I'm doing everything right. I can't realize what I'm doing wrong." But we do this to the 10th month. And the 10th month, the doctor said, "Sir, I'm sorry. It does not work. It has not changed a bit. It ain't never going to work." I said, "Doc, I refuse to accept that curse." I said, "I don't know what I've missed, but somewhere I've missed it. God's promises are always yes and amen. He never says no to his obedient children. If God never says no to his obedient children, the problem is you. The problem was me." So I went back, and this time, after 10 months, when I brought her back home, I said, "Okay, God, I got Mark 11:24. Now, you're going to have to reveal to me what I'm not reading right in that verse. It says there, therefore I say unto you," and that's Jesus talking, "what things soever you desire." "Lord, I desire the flapper valve in my granddaughter's throat work perfect in Jesus' name. That's what I desire." And I read it this way for the first time. "When you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them." Okay, that's where I was messing up. I wasn't believing. You say, "My gosh, how could you have believed any different?" Well, if I'd have believed, what would I have done? I would have fed her. And I wasn't doing that. I'm waiting on that doctor to tell me the flapper valve works, because he said, if it's not working and you give her one bite of something to eat or one spoonful of water, it'll run into her lungs and kill her. This is going to separate the men from the boys. Let me tell you. This separates the faith people from the unfaith people. Right, brother? This will separate. This will find out who's a Christian and who's not a Christian. Who believes that God's word means what it says. I come home and I say, "Lord, I repent. I repent. I repent. I didn't do that. I didn't believe. I was waiting on that doctor to tell me that valve's working. That's my problem. I did not believe. And you said in your word, when I pray, I must believe with no doubt in my heart." Is that what he said? I said, "Lord, I repent for not believing." I said, "Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for all that. Wash me clean by your blood. Now then, I'm going to take Mark 11:24. I desire the flapper valve. My granddaughter worked like a champ. And I want to thank you and praise you, Lord, that it works in Jesus' name." I said, "Thank you, Lord." I called my son-in-law. I said, "Toby, you got anything for Caitlin to eat over there?" He said, "I got some applesauce and an orange juice." I said, "I'll be right there." I went running over there and I said, "Where's that applesauce and orange juice?" He said, "Well, it's in the refrigerator." I said, "Put it out there. We're going to feed her." "Thurman, you can't be serious. We just got back from the doctor just a couple of weeks ago, and the doctor said that thing ain't never going to work." I said, "I know. I was there. Every time I was there, I heard what that doctor said. But I said, I know what God's word says too. And I know I have not met that criteria. If I believed in my heart, I would feed her. I said, so get that applesauce. I said, Toby, you know the doctor said she was not going to live. He said, that's what they said. I said, the doctor said she'd never walk again. I said, she's running all over this house now? He said, she is. I said, and the doctor said she's never going to see her again? I said, does she see? He said, yes. I said, don't you think it's time you start believing God with me? Okay, what do I need to do? I said, you need to, as her daddy, you need to set that applesauce on the table. You need to set that bottle of orange juice right there at her little place, which she has not eaten in a year. He set it down. I called her. I said, Caitlin, honey, come in here. She was in the bedroom playing with her dolls. She come running in there. I said, sit down in that chair, honey, and eat that applesauce and drink that orange juice for granddaddy. She sat down there in that chair. She stuck that spoon in there and put it in her mouth and right down. Two. Now, I don't mind telling you granddaddy was on pins and needles. You can understand, can't you? Is this to be your granddaughter? And you just heard the doctor say in 10 months you've been there every 2 months, and the doctor say this thing don't work and it ain't never worked, and you only got one thing to stand on, and it's God's word, an invisible God you ain't never seen, and you're going to trust your granddaughter's life to that written word? This will separate the men from the boys, I'll tell you for sure. She ate that whole bowl of applesauce, drank about half of that little bottle of orange juice, and sat it down and run back in the bedroom and started playing. And, of course, granddaddy by this time is doing cartwheels all over the house. I was jumping up and down and praising God. So anyway, we fed her normal for the next 6 weeks. And then it came time for the year inspection. I took her down there. I said, Doc, I want you to check my granddaughter's flapper valve. He goes in and comes back at me and said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. He said, that thing didn't work a lick for 10 months, but he said, today it's working perfect. He said, you can start feeding her now. I said, Doc, that's why it's working perfect. I started feeding her 6 weeks ago. He looked at me and said, sir, you are the absolute craziest human being I have ever seen in my life. But you know, if you step into the world of faith, not only is the world going to think you're crazy, most of the church is going to think you're crazy too. I don't run into many people that believe these promises. What did that promise say? Therefore, Jesus said, I say unto you, what things soever you pray, you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I'll tell you one day, there at home, I woke up one morning and my leg was tingling. My left leg was tingling. I told my wife, I said, you know, I don't know what's wrong with my leg. Let me turn the light on in the bedroom and see what I got. I feel like I got ants or something on my left leg. She got up right quick too, run around there and turned the light on. And my left leg from my knee down to my ankle was just blood red. Oh, my goodness, look at this. She said, I know what caused that. She used to work for a doctor. She said, you got blood clots in your leg. She said, you get back in that bed and put your feet up on a deal. I'm going to elevate your foot 6 inches. I'm going to anoint you with oil. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you. And then you're going to stay home in bed for 2 or 3 days till that changes. I said, woman, listen to me very careful. You're not in charge here. I am. I'm the husband. She said, but honey, you got a blood clot. I said, don't make no difference. I said, I'm undergoing a test from God. He's testing me to see if I'm going to believe him or the doctors. What are you going to do? I said, you can pray for me. You can even anoint me with oil. But I'm going to get up and put my clothes on. I'm going to work. I said, she said, what are you doing today that's that important? I said, I'm building a building. She said, it's supposed to be 100 degrees today. I said, well, but you know, I said, well, people stay in bed. Sick people stay in bed. Well, people get up and go to work. And I said, I'm well because Jesus bore my sickness and removed my disease. If Jesus already bore my sickness and removed my disease, do I believe that or not? Well, this is where you find out. Do I really believe that he bore my sickness? If he did, why do you and him both have to have it? I mean, that's the way I think. You ever think about that, Debbie? If Jesus bore my sickness, he said that in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and he said it again in Matthew 8, 17. In fact, let's go to Matthew 8, 17, and let me show you what that says. Matthew 8, 17. Look at this. Verse 17. that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our sins or infirmities and bare our sickness. Is that what that says? So if Jesus took away my sin, then how much should I sin? How much sin should a Christian have? If Jesus bore your sin, how much sin should you have?
None.
That's exactly right. Not a little bit, not some, none. And if that's why daddies and mothers that don't walk in this, that's why their children go out and sleep with people out of wedlock and bring children into the world and all kinds of things, and they get sick and afflicted, and we have cerebral palsy children, and we have autistic children, and we have all kinds of children caused with all kinds of sickness and disease because we bring those kids into the world under a curse because we do not believe God. And so children today in a Christian home are raised up. The only thing they know how to get healed is go to a doctor. Nobody ever prays for nobody in a Christian home. Hardly ever. And that should not be the case. Every Christian should, every home that has a Christian mother and father, the daddy should be so on fire for Jesus. He's got hundreds or even thousands of scriptures hidden in his heart at any time he prays. In fact, I'll tell you, Dave, since he's got six babies now at home, not the last one, that was a little girl, but the one before that, which is just about 2 years old, is a little boy. He's got a vocabulary that's unreal to be 2 years old. He can talk to you like an adult. It's just amazing. But what I get so tickled at, anytime one of the kids get hurt, and you know they all out playing and running and sliding down and doing things. One of them may fall down, scratch your knee or something a little bit. And, oh, come to Daddy. Daddy, Daddy, you got to pray. And that little one, that little two-year-old, he runs right over there and jumps right in the middle of where the problem is, puts his hand on and said, I agree, I agree, I agree. He's already learned the prayer of agreement, Matthew 18:19. He's 2 years old. And if one of the other kids needs anything, that little guy's right on top of him praying. I agree, they're healed. Now see, if you raise your children up like that, what do you think is going to happen in a home like that? I mean, we're going to have a home here of little children that's going to love God and put Him first because they've seen their daddy walk in a demonstration of the Spirit of the living God. And them kids in Dave's home, they don't have any problem knowing that God is real. I guarantee. They were over to church, actually it was a Church of Christ. They were over to Church of Christ, and somebody was sick in the Church of Christ. And somebody said something to little John, which is now 10 years old. I think this was about a year ago, maybe he was 9. Said something about maybe we ought to pray for them for healing. And little John said, it wouldn't do any good. They don't believe over here. And he's right. I mean, you know, you go to the Baptist church. I was raised up in a Baptist church. You ask them, do you believe Jesus will heal you? Well, I know He can, but maybe He will, maybe He won't. But they don't know what God's Word says. So, you know, most Baptists, and I was raised 60 years in a Baptist church, and virtually never seen anybody get healed or never seen a miracle or nothing because they don't believe. Well, the Church of Christ, just like the Methodists and all the rest of them, nearly every church alive on the earth today does not believe these promises. Isn't that something? Let me ask this question. How many of y'all have ever been a member of either a Church of Christ, a Baptist, or a Methodist, or whatever? So, okay. Now then, let me ask, since some of you say you have any of you ever been in one of those churches that saw miracles happen when they were prayed for in the church? No, you never did. Why not? Unbelief, right, brother? Unbelief. I mean, they did. You know, you ask them. You ask one of them when you pray, do you believe you're going to get your answer? No. Just like these four young people are sitting here on the front row right now. This is where every young person should be. They should be in here. If they're 6 or 8 years old, they shouldn't be in a nursery playing some games. They ought to be in here listening to the Word of God. And the man that's teaching the Word of God ought to be teaching things that comes right out of this book for these children to know that if you don't do what God says, He will discipline you Himself. I mean, to tell you, wasn't it Janessa that had, what was that Janessa had, Dave? What happened to her the other day? Oh, she got, oh, that's right, she got sick in her stomach, that's what it was. Janessa, she is about, 8 or 9? Okay, 12, okay, so she's older than I thought. But this little girl, when this couple wanted a baby, and they wanted a baby girl. And so they come to us and ask us to pray for them a baby girl. Well, we have no idea that we really thought when we asked for the baby girl that God would let her get pregnant and have a baby. But it didn't happen like that. The Lord, there was somebody from CPS called them. They knew they were looking for a little, or wanting a baby girl. So they called and asked them, said, we have a little baby girl down here. She's about 8 months old, and the parents don't want her, and said, if y'all would like to have a little girl, she's just the sweetest little thing. And they said, well, sure, we'd love to have her. So they come running down and look at the little girl. She looks perfectly normal. She's 8 months old. She's not crawling yet. And they said, well, why does the parents not want her? She's so sweet. They said, well, she has a disease, a sickness that can't be cured. She'll never be able to walk. So they didn't want her. And see, nobody ever told that couple. Because you two been sleeping together out of wedlock and you ain't married. That's why that curse come up on you. Nobody ever told them that. They have no idea that because they're sleeping together, bringing forth a child, that God has cursed them with a curse, and their curse fell upon the baby, and the baby ain't never going to be able to walk. But the Word of God clearly says that. If you don't obey me and do what I say, I will curse you and your children. God says that in His Word. But He said, if you obey me, I will bless you and your children. Today, the church has no knowledge of these things, yet here it is written right there in God's Word. They said, so they don't want her. They said, we'll take her. She's beautiful. They took her and brought her right out to the church. I said, Pastor, we want you to break this curse over this child because we just adopted this child and we're walking in obedience to God's Word. So we know that if you pray and break the curse, God will honor that and our little daughter will get completely well. So we did. She became now the daughter of this couple that's walking in obedience to God's Word. We break the curse. We kick out the devils. Within a month, the little girl's crawling. Within 2 months, she's standing up walking. And today she's 12 years old, and you ought to see her in our church as she runs and dances and praises God and everything. She's totally, completely normal and healed. And the other day, she's come running into my office. She calls me Papa T. Everybody, all the grandchildren, I call them all my grandchildren, all the ones that go to our church. She said, Papa T, I got to tell you what happened to me today. I said, what happened, honey? She said, I got upset with Daddy. He told me to take out the trash. And he had told me about 3 times, and I didn't do it. And so I never did take it out. So said, we had to leave. And said, my wife and her mother took the girls down to some little shopping or something, and then to dinner. And she said, after we had dinner, I got so sick at my stomach, I thought I was going to throw up in the car. And said, I told nominee, that's what they call my wife, nominee. That's supposed to be Grandma Cheryl, but that's what they call her, nominee. And said, I told nominee that I was feeling terrible. So she stopped at a little place there that I could go to the bathroom. And Mama went in with me. And she said, as I'm in there, I'm feeling like I'm going to throw up. And said, my mother says, she said, I wish Papa T was here to pray for me. And so her mother told her, you know what the first thing Papa T would tell you? What sin did you commit that would cause this sickness to come upon you? Oh, Mom, I know what it was. I didn't honor Dad when he asked me to take out the trash. I know I've heard Papa T say the scripture says, children, you must obey and honor your parents in all things, that it will go well with you and that you may have a long life. She said, I didn't obey Daddy. So she said, Lord, I repent. I promise I'll take the trash out as soon as I get home. Please forgive me. And she said, immediately, she said, I told Mom, Mom, pray and ask the Lord somehow to do something so Papa T will pray for me. And so all of a sudden, her mother called Cheryl and said, Cheryl, can you quickly get Papa T to pray over my baby? So Cheryl picked up her phone and called me. I got the message and I prayed. And all this happened within just 2 or 3 minutes. And as soon as I prayed and she repented, the little girl said, Mom, he must have just prayed. I felt it leave. I have no more pain in my stomach. She was totally, completely healed. She come running in my office telling me, Papa T, you prayed for me, didn't you? I said, yes, honey. Nominee called and I prayed. She said, I knew it. As soon as I repented and told God I was sorry for not honoring my daddy by taking out the trash, he forgave me and healed me. See, we have a multitude of children out there today that's sick. And they have no clue that what they're doing is bringing the sickness upon them. They don't believe it. But the adults don't believe it either. So whenever you pray for one of your children, let me tell you something to stand on tonight. Anytime you start to pray for yourself, now if you're a woman and you're married, you cannot pray for yourself. God told the woman, you are to submit to your own husband in everything. What does everything mean? Does it mean everything? Ladies, let me tell you, it works. I've seen it work over and over and over and over. And those women that are in rebellion, that said, I don't believe that, that won't let their husband pray for them, they stay sick a long time. When they get tired of being sick and afflicted, then they go and say, Lord, I repent, and the husband prays for them, and they get healed. I've seen it happen just like that, over and over and over. I know it works. But if people would start believing God, and every time you have a need, any kind, whether it's anybody, the best thing to do, if you can find a godly daddy in a home, have him pray. And if you're not a godly daddy and you're at this meeting, become one. You know, because God demands that you do this. He doesn't ask you to do this. He tells you to do this. And so many men are rebellious. But if you will do what he says, and then anytime your children or you or your wife, I mean, comes down with any kind of a problem and needs prayer, you go and remit all of your sins, all of her sins, and the sins of your children. And before you pray for your children, I've seen children with cuts on their hands that be out to get to fighting, and they slip down and fall down and cut a big gash in their hand, and they come crying to Daddy. And Daddy says, what were you doing? Well, I was fighting with my brother. Did you forgive your brother? Yes, yes, Daddy, I've forgiven him. And I've seen daddies that will pray for a child and the skin heal right before your very eyes. It happens. We see it all the time. Now, why is it that the majority of the church gets no answers to prayer? Because we don't believe these things. Who ever dreamed of repenting before you pray? That's just like this deal about submitting to your husband. After Cheryl and I got married, we've been married 11 years now, but right after we got married, 4, 5, 6 months, one night we were laying in bed, 2 o'clock in the morning, I was sound asleep, and she woke me up. She hit me a couple of times and said, honey, wake up. I said, what's wrong? What do you need? She said, I got a burning fire in my stomach and I can't sleep. I said, well, how long have you had it? She said, 2 days. I said, 2 days? I said, woman, what in the world you mean having a problem for 2 days and wait till 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm sound asleep to wake me up to pray for you? I said, why didn't you ask me to pray for you 2 days ago? She said, I've been praying for myself. I said, woman, what is it you don't understand about wives? You must submit to your own husbands in everything. What do you not understand about everything? She said, well, you mean I can't pray for myself at all? I said, no. She said, I used to pray for myself, and I got God heard my prayer all the time. I said, were you married to me then? She says, no, I wasn't married at all. I said, that's why you got your prayers answered, because you had a direct line to the Lord. But when you married me, I became your head. Every husband, whether he knows it or not, he becomes the head over the family when he married the wife. And that's what the Scripture says. And so I told her, I said, repent, tell God you're sorry. Here we are laying here side by side in the midnight, not 2 o'clock in the morning, pitch black. She said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I guess I didn't understand all. So I repent. I repent, Lord, for not submitting to my husband and letting him pray for me. So I said, tell him, I said, honey, tell the Lord thank you for forgiving you. I said, he always said, pray everything with thanksgiving. Did he not? Always thank him. And so she did. She said, Lord, I thank you for forgiving me. And I reached over and put my hand on her stomach right there where the problem was. I said, in Jesus' name. And that's all I got out. That quick, one heartbeat. She was completely healed and all the pain left her. You know, when, like one day I'm sitting there in my office. I've heard the Lord's voice so many times. I've heard Him speak to me audibly over 50 times. And I don't even know how many times He spoke to me otherwise. But I was sitting there in my office here a year or two ago, studying the Word of God. And all of a sudden, the thought came to me just so clear. You need to go out front. I thought a minute. I thought, Lord, what in the world do I need to go out front for? But I thought, you know, I know I felt that impression, go out front. So I got up out of my chair, walked around my desk, walked down through the minister center, walked out the front, opened the door, and went outside. And as soon as I did, I hear a child screaming. And I look, and there's my grandson with my granddaughter, the one that we raised from the dead. The grandson is a few years younger than she is. And he was pushing his bicycle, and he was just crying at the top of his lungs. So I'm running out there. I said, Preston, son. I said, what's wrong? He said, oh, granddaddy, we were riding bikes, and I made a sharp turn, and my front wheel slid out from under me, and the wheel went sideways, and the handlebar hit me right in the chest. Boy, was he hurting. I said, oh, Lord, thank you. Now I know why you spoke to me and told me to come out here. So I reached up and put my hands on him. I said, son, the Lord says in His Word that I can ask Him for anything in faith and He will do it. So I'm going to put my hands on you and I'm going to ask the Father in Jesus' name to take away all your pain and completely heal you and make you perfect right now. And I thank you, Lord, for doing it. I put my hands on him and said, be healed, Preston, in Jesus' name. Granddaddy, the pain just left. I don't have any pain. I said, well, get on your bike, son, and ride. He jumped up on his bike, and he looked back, and he said, thanks, Granddad. I said, tell Jesus, thank you, son. So he says, Lord, thank you. And him and Caitlin rode off on their bicycles. Now see, God wants you to live a blessed life. You agree with that, young lady? God wants every man and every woman to live a blessed life. Somewhere, it seems like I remember reading in John 10:10, something like this. The thief come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Is that what he said? So he wants you and me to be blessed, and he wants our children to be blessed and everything, but it's only going to happen if you walk in obedience to his word and you hide his word in your heart. Now then, you know why most young boys, like these four little and girls, boys and girls, these four young people sitting here on the front. Most young people I see like that have never seen a miracle in their life. They've never been prayed for by daddy and seen a result. And daddy may be, in fact, I've talked to some in here that their daddies say they're Christians, and I've heard this many times. In fact, a woman in Manny, Louisiana, that had, I forget how many surgeries Norma had, but she was a godly woman. She had raised her children, her grandchildren, carried them to church, but she had several surgeries, and now she's down with Parkinson's and lupus, and she's only in her late 50s. I taught on unforgiveness and bitterness that night down there in Louisiana, that church. And as soon as I give the invitation, that woman come running from the back row to the front and said, Pastor, I've never heard a message that said if I don't forgive, God won't forgive me until tonight. I just guess I missed that. But she said, I go to church all the time. But she said, if you were to told my children or my grandchildren that I had all these surgeries and everything because I had a sin in my life, she said, they would have run you out of town on a rail. But I never dreamed that because when my daddy abused me when I was a little girl, about 12 years old, her daddy sexually abused her. Can you imagine the daddy doing that to his own daughter? To me, that's so far and I can't even think about it. But he did it. And of course, guess what she did? She had a bitterness and an unforgiveness toward her dad. Does that make sense? Sure. I mean, daddies ain't supposed to do that to their children. They're supposed to love their children, supposed to treat them with like ladies and young men, supposed to treat them like that. not to be angry and scream and cuss and sexually abuse them and all that kind of stuff. But she had a grudge against her daddy. And she said, I never heard anybody say that if I hold a grudge, God will send a tormenting spirit to me to torment me. Now I know why I've had all these surgeries. Now I know why I've been sick all my life. Now I know why I've had all these surgeries. And now, right now, I have Parkinson's and I have lupus. And she said, on the way down here, I repented. And I told God, I'm sorry, I forgive my daddy. I turn him over to you and let you judge him righteously. Now I'm ready to be prayed for. And I reached up and put my hands on that woman's shoulders and said, in Jesus' name. And instantly the Parkinson was gone. She was healed in one heartbeat. It happened right there. I didn't know because I can't see inside her body. I didn't know what happened inside of her body. But the lupus was gone also. She went to a doctor probably a month or 6 weeks later for a checkup just to see. She had no shaking of hands. She felt like a new woman. So she just went in to have the doctor check her. And she says, when I went in and he checked me, he said, Norma, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Your Parkinson is completely gone. Your lupus is completely gone. There's not a single thing wrong with you from the top of your head. Now this woman, which had had so many surgeries, I guess it was several years later, I took her to GLC to give her testimony, to make a 30-minute television show to air, and her testimony is on our website, and it's under the 18 or 19 testimonies of miraculous healing. They're all on there. Those are. We've only made about 20 or 25 or 30, something like that, of stories about people. But we have had hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. And some of them where people are healed instantly. But Norma, that night when she come down and I touched her and the Lord instantly healed her, here's the thing I see about her. She was a godly woman. She had raised her children with her husband and they went to church. They took their children to church. They prayed over their children. She prayed over their children. The mother can do that. It's only yourself that you have to have your husband pray for you for. But if for his children or praying for your husband, wives, you can pray for anybody else. There's no limits to who you can pray for. But anyway, she had been a very godly woman. She had one problem, not forgiving her daddy, holding a grudge against a man that had sexually abused her and had physically abused her in many ways. And God cannot change his word. If he says you don't forgive from your heart, I, the Father, will send a tormenting spirit to torment you. Does he mean that? Yes, he does. And many people are sick and afflicted, just like Norma, all those years, because she had tormenting spirits from the Lord making her sick. But the minute she repented of that sin and asked God to forgive her, now she's clean. And the Lord knows she's a good woman and knows she took her children to church, knows that she walks in love. And so the minute I touched her in his name, the Master healed her instantly. I'm telling you, it's awesome to see what God does. But God cannot deviate from his word under no conditions. If it's written in the book, he means it. Just like that scripture we read a while ago. Let's go back to that Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Let's look at that one more time. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils or demons. There's only one devil, but there's lots of demons. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities. Our sin. That's what that word means, sin, known sin. Do you know that an infirmity, which is a known sin that you commit, many people in church, they know you're supposed to walk in love. They've heard preachers preach on it. They know sexual immorality is wrong. They know that lying is wrong. They've heard it. But they sin anyway. They do this. You know, I hate to say this, but I've seen people where that the husband was a deacon in a church, a deacon, or a Sunday school teacher in a church, and his daughter is living with a boy in her bedroom every day, and they ain't married. Let me tell you what, that ain't going to happen in my house. Somebody says, well, you know, I can't stop her. Yeah, you can too. If you have any idea of what you can do in the Word of God and the power you have in the Word of God, I guarantee you can stop it. Guarantee it. I was telling some people over lunch today, I won't use a name, but I had a man one time that called me, and he had received a tremendous miracle from God. But he had an anger problem. I mean a bad anger problem. And he refused to correct it. So if anybody works for him, got upset with him, he could tell you how to... Man, he could really run you down. One day this man called me and threatened to sue me because of what I teach. I told him, I said, sir, I want you to listen real close. I prayed for you with a broken back and God instantly healed you. Can you imagine that? He had a broken back. He called me and he wanted me to pray for him. He had a broken back in bed and he's a medical doctor and the doctors there said you will never walk again. And he called me and I prayed and God instantly healed that broken back just like that. You know what he should have been doing? Should have been jumping, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's what he should have been doing. But a few weeks later, I told his testimony. And of course, since I'm not a doctor, and I don't understand all the different things in the body, I told the story and I didn't get it exactly 100% right. He called me and threatened to sue me for that. He was so mad he could bite a nail into. I told him, I said, sir, I want you to listen very close. I ain't going to tell you this but one time. I said, the God that I serve that healed that back, he can take that healing away from you. He can put you right back down in that bed. That's the God I serve. I said, he can do that. And I said, he will. In fact, I'm going to ask him right now in your presence, every time you get into a fit of anger and rage, I'm going to ask him to put a spirit of torment on your back until you can't stand up. I said, now then, you better not ever threaten to sue me again. I mean, you know, I kind of got off a little bit like Peter did when he went over to buy some groceries for the Lord, you know, and they wouldn't sell them to him. What did he say? What did he say? What did Peter say? Anybody remember? You don't remember? Peter come and said, Lord, they won't sell us no groceries. You want me to call down fire from heaven and kill them all? See, that's in the Bible. Has anybody ever read that scripture I just quoted? You know it's in there, right? Okay. So about two or three times over the next three or four years, when that man would lose it with somebody, every time that spirit of pain would come in his back and put him on the floor. And it finally stuck about three times. And he finally got to where he got control of it. Somebody says, yeah, I don't believe God will do that. All depends on how well you know him. He's unlimited in what he can do. He knows how to hurt you or he knows how to bless you. And those people think God's a loving fuddy-duddy up there in heaven. He won't judge you. You don't know who he is. He will bless your socks off if you obey him. But he knows how to hurt you, I guarantee. Just like the other night, I read to y'all 2 Samuel 12. Was anybody here the night I read 2 Samuel 12? Okay, some of you were. Those of you that were here, David brought a little child into the world through a sexual immoral act. He had sex with a woman he was not married to, and she got pregnant, and she bore a child. What did God do to that child? What did he do? Killed it. How long did it live? 1 week. Somebody said it. 1 week. Now then, if God did that then, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, will he do that today? Yes, he will. Guarantee he will. Now then, do you want to be healed? Let me tell you, you're going to have a scripture to base your faith on. The Lord always says, if anybody comes to me without faith, they cannot please me. Have you ever read that before? Don't come to me without faith. You can't please me. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please me, he says. And those that come to me must believe that I am, and that I am a rewarder of them who diligently seek me. If you come here tonight because you're sick, or you know somebody sick and you want to be prayed for, and you think you're going to walk out that door, and whether you get healed or don't get healed, you ain't going to go back to church. You're not going to serve God. You're just going to do what you've been doing up to now. You can forget getting healed. He wants children that love him and serve him and worship him and praise him. That's what he wants. That's why you're sick, because you have not been doing that. If you're loving him, praising him, worshiping him, like I read to you last night so many places, if you do everything he says, how much sickness did he say he would take away from you? Okay, several of you remember that, don't you? Is that what he said, wasn't it, ma'am? And I read at least three places last night where that if you obey him and do everything he says, he promised to take all sickness away from you, didn't he? So if we got a sickness in our heart, or we got a sickness in our physical body, that means we're not meeting that criteria. If you're doing everything God says, and he promised in his word to take all sickness away, and you got sickness in your body, you're not doing what he says. So you need to change. So you need to come to him with a scripture. Find a promise. One of these many promises which we've quoted. Find one of those promises and say, Lord, you said right here in your word. I mean, Matthew 18:19, John 15:7, John 14:13-14, just over and promises all over the place. Find one of them and say, Lord, I need to be healed. First thing you need to do is say, I repent of sin. If you're committing any kind of sin, you need to get rid of it. In fact, the other day, Cheryl and I, my wife, we were up in Baltimore teaching the Word of God, and this one woman came up, and she was having all kinds of physical problems, several places. My wife asked her, said, are you married? She says, no. Cheryl said, do you have a boyfriend? Yes. Cheryl said, are you sleeping with him? She said, no, absolutely not. I said, ma'am, you can't lie, because God knows the truth. I said, and he hates lying. So I said, don't make it worse than it is. Now, are you sure you're not sleeping with this guy? No, I'm not sleeping with him. Okay. So we prayed for her and everything. She gets to the back door, stops, turns around, come back up and said, Pastor, I lied. I said, oh, okay, so the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit was working on her. As she's walking out, he's working on her heart, said, you lied to that pastor up there. You know you lied. You can fool him, but you can't fool me. I know what you're doing. I know. You want to get hit, you go back up there and confess your sin and tell him you're sorry, and then you stop living with that boy. Then you and me can talk. I'm talking about God now. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about God. God won't talk to you when you're in sin. I mean, he might send a prophet to talk to you like he did Nathan. You know, I mean, he didn't talk to David. He was upset with David. I mean, in that story I read the other night, after David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and after, especially that scripture says, David, I gave you the kingdom. I gave you your enemy's wives. I gave you his houses and everything else. And if that hadn't been enough, if you'd have come and asked me, I'd have give you anything you want. But no, you had to go out and do it on your own and kill a man. And now then, because you did this, I'm going to bring the sword among your children. I'm going to have your children kill each other. I'm going to have your children rape each other. Somebody said, God would never do that. Hey, I'm quoting scripture to you. It's in 2 Samuel 12. If you haven't read that, you know, when you wonder why we're sick and afflicted, there is something wrong. If you're walking in obedience to God's word, guarantee. Just like the other day after we prayed for Norma and she got healed of all that stuff, when we went down to get her to make the TV shows, it had been 5 or 6 or 7 years since she'd got healed. And I says, Norma, how long has it been since you've been sick? She said, Pastor, once I repented that night and I walked down that aisle, I ain't never been back to a doctor's office since. Not one. Isn't that amazing? That if we obey God, if we obey God, if he's already bore, look at what he says there. If he has took your sins and then bore your sickness, you have to try to sin. He's already took them. You have to literally try to sin. Because God's Spirit's living in you, and he's trying to tell you, anytime you start to do something wrong, if you're a Christian, are you a Christian? When you even think about doing something wrong, is there some little voice in there or something that says, honey, don't do this?
I'm minding his word in my heart that I might not sin against him.
Okay, so you know what I mean, right?
Yep.
He's trying his best to get you not to sin because he knows what's going to happen if you sin. He's going to have to punish you, and he don't want to do that. He wants to bless you, right?
Yep.
Kind of like a mother and a dad. You know, when one of your children comes in and they start to do something, saying, don't do that. I mean, don't crawl up on the front of that cabinet and scratch up the doors. If you need something, slide you a little chair over there. Well, I ain't got time, Mom. And see, slide, jump up the wall. Oh, I told you not to do that. Two or three licks, and it won't take long. You'll finally get their attention. They'll slide a chair up there, won't they? Instead of crawling up. Well, see, that's the same way it is with us and God. If we're obedient, in fact, if that child was getting up there to get a cookie, If you know you cook those cookies for that child because you love them, and if they can't get up there, you'll bring the cookie jar down to where they can get it, right? Sure, that's the way God is with us too. Exactly the way he does things. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless you. But you got to realize that if he's already took your sins, he doesn't plan on you sinning. But you know, being raised in a Baptist church, I heard this all my life. Thurman, you're just an unworthy sinner saved by grace. You know you sin every day. So you just might as well confess your sin every night and hope that God will do something for you. One day, these locked in my heart. He's already bore my sickness. He's already bore my sin. So if he's bore my sin, then I have to try to sin. I don't just go out and sin automatically. I have to try to sin. And I ain't going to do that. I want to walk in obedience to his word. And if he's already bore my sickness, I heard Debbie laugh all ago when I said, if he's already bore my sickness, why don't you just let him have it? Because ain't no use me and him both having it if he's already bore it, right? And so I say, Lord, I'm not going to sin, and I'm not going to be sick. You already took my sickness on the cross. I'm going to let you keep it, and I'm going to walk in divine health because you made me a promise. And in 35 years, I'm 76, praise God. I have not had a sick day in 35 years. That's a praise the Lord, I'll tell you for sure. But I know. Now, wait a minute. I know that's something special God did just because he loves Thurman more than he ever loves the rest of y'all. You don't believe that either, do you? Absolutely not. He doesn't love anybody more than he loves somebody else, and he has no favorites. That's the hardest thing in the world for me to get through to my wife. She said, I'm God's favorite. I said, No, you're not. You're not God's favorite. I said, he does love you a lot, I will have to say, but you're not his favorite. But she likes to say, I said, you can be my favorite wife. She is my favorite wife because I only got one. Praise God. I've only had two in my life. And, of course, the other one, I lived with her for 41 and a half years until she got killed in a car wreck. And I don't understand all the details about that, but I do know that my wife and my daughter that did die in that car wreck, they both belong to God. They don't belong even to ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. We're not our own. We belong to him because we're bought with a price. Is that right? So if he wants to take one of us out early, he can do that, you know, for his glory. And, of course, he took my wife and daughter out, and then Kelly and Caitlin, he let me fight the battle for those two little girls. And I'm telling you, millions of people have seen that CD or that DVD about Caitlin's miracle that we made with Sid Roth. I mean, millions have seen that thing. I couldn't even begin to tell you how many thousand we sent out. But just like Keith said, up until the last couple of years, we were sending out around 8,000 to 10,000 CDs and DVDs every week all over the world until lately, within this last year, we've now... Sometimes we'll have a 15,000 week. And we'll send out 15,000 CDs and DVDs somewhere in the world. in 1 week, and we pay the postage. And we never, how many of you in here have gotten or received some of our CDs and DVDs through the mail? Okay, well, that's lots of you. Have you ever gotten an envelope in there and said, would you please send me some money?
No.
Oh, you didn't. I didn't do that, did I? You know who I trust for my income? The Lord. That's absolutely right. I ask the Lord, Lord, this is your business. It ain't mine. These are your CDs and DVDs. So I need this much money each week. I know you know exactly how much I need, but I need to pay the bills to duplicate these things and to send them out. So I thank you for enough money. And guess how much money comes in? Enough to pay all the bills every week. Every week. I've never, one time now in my life, all of a sudden, things started going down. And we were still sending out as much stuff as we'd always send out, but nobody was sending no money. Well, now, we went about 2 weeks like that, or three, and I went to the bank and took all the money I had. Now, see, I'm on Social Security, and I get about $22,000 a year, Social Security, and I'm also a Texas oil man. I have a gas well on my place, so I get about $300 to $500 a month off my oil well, so I'm a rich Texas oil man, you know, so... You know, but $300 to $500 is better than nothing, right? It's just free money. I love it. But anyway, I saved that as much as I can, and I had to go to the bank and take that money out and put it in the ministry account because I couldn't pay the bills. First time ever, ever that I couldn't pay my bills from ministry money, but I couldn't pay them. So the next week, it didn't get any better. So I told the church. I mean, I said, wait a minute. I said, I don't know what I've done. But I said, I know I've done something. I said, I have offended God some way. I don't know what it is, but I said, he's quit bringing in money. I said, I want y'all to all pray with me and ask God to show one of us or somebody what I've done wrong so they can tell me so I can repent. Because I said, I can't keep the ministry going. I said, if we go another 2 weeks and things don't change, I'm going to be broke. And I can't pay my bills. And if I can't pay my bills, I ain't going to the bank and borrow money to continue this ministry. If God can't pay his bills, then I must be doing something wrong. So I said, I need everybody to pray. And so they did. And before this older couple, before they got home, they turned around. The Lord spoke to her. Not to the husband, but to her. And told her what the problem was. So they turned around and came all the way back to the church. They were over an hour away when they come. And she said, Thurman, when she walked in, she said, I know we prayed before we left, and we got nearly to the house when the Lord spoke to me and said, this is what's wrong with Thurman's ministry. And so I said, well, what did he tell you? She said, he told me that the Ten Commandments in Hebrew that you put on the front wall is the problem. I said, the Ten Commandments I put on the front wall? I said, yeah. I said, there's a couple that went to Egypt and Israel just recently, and they bought a beautiful little thing in Hebrew of the Ten Commandments, and they give me a copy, and I was so happy with it, I put it in a nice frame and put it right next to the front door. I said, how could that be the problem? She said, all I know is what God told me. So I go running to the front door, and I said, Lord, you got to tell me what I've missed about these. I said, I don't understand Hebrew. I don't write Hebrew. But they assured me this was the Ten Commandments in Hebrew. And so that surely he wouldn't be upset with me putting the Ten Commandments on the front wall. But I walked up there and looked at that, and right at the top in the Israeli six-pointed flag, right in the middle, was a red dot of the Muslim flag. I said, holy cow, there's my problem. I'm trying to mix God with a Muslim God, Allah. I said, and he don't like it. I took that thing down off the wall. I tore that thing all to pieces. I took it outside. I put it in the burn barrel, and I burned that booger. I said, Lord, thank you for showing me. Now, see, if you have a need, who do you ask? Who knows all the answers? God. Yeah, absolutely. We didn't know nobody in the church. No, I guarantee, including me. And so when I burned that thing and I repented, I said, Lord, I am so sorry I put that thing up there. I did not see that red dot, that red little thing of the Muslims. I did not see that. I said, from now on, any time I put something up, I'll look at it better. So I said, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. That was on Sunday. I almost hadn't got an envelope in the mailbox for about 4 or 5 weeks. No money whatsoever. Monday, I go to the mailbox after 10 o'clock. I can't get in my box. it's overflowing. I opened it up, and they had to put a lot of it in one of those big boxes on the next, you know. I had a box, a big box full of mail. And I went, and we opened all that, and we had enough money to put our money back in the bank that we'd give to the Lord there. We had money to put that back. We had money to pay everybody's bill for the next 2 or 3 weeks. We had more money than we knew what to do with. And all it took was me to repent. So if you don't learn anything else from this meeting, learn to trust God and to go ask Him what your problems are. Lord, if I got a problem and things ain't working, what did I do wrong? Now, I told some of you the other night, but some of you are new tonight. The other night I had a call from Australia, and the young man, 45 years old, he said, I saw you on Sid Roth, and he said, I've never heard anybody say that if you have a problem and you don't know what it is, go and take Jeremiah 33:3 and ask the Lord. He said, I'd never heard that. Never dreamed I could ask God to tell me what my problem is, why I'm sick. But he said, when I heard that and saw that, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, when I was 7 years old, this eczema came all over my body. I've been sick with eczema since I was seven. I'm 45. I've had it all my life. I've been to the best doctors in the world. Ain't none of them can heal it. So I need to know what I done wrong or why do I have this sickness on my body. And he said, Thurman, the Lord answered me instantly. He said, the reason the eczema came upon your body is because your daddy committed adultery with a woman next door when you were seven. Is that scary? How many Christian men do you know, or women, that have committed adultery with somebody besides their mate? You don't commit adultery when you have sex with your mate. It's only when you have sex with somebody that's not your mate. And you never get by with nothing. God judges every act of sexual immorality. And then he asked the Lord a second question. He said, Lord, at the time this came upon me, there was 3 children in the family. How come it come upon me? He said, because you were your daddy's favorite. And by you being your favorite, it would hurt your daddy the worst for the sickness to come upon you, much more so than it would either one of the other 2 children. Somebody says, I don't believe that. Well, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And it lines up with God's Word. God's Word clearly says that every act of sexual immorality will be judged. And I want to take you to Hebrews 13:4. And I want you to see this scripture. Hebrews 13:4. Look at this. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't mean one man and one man. That means one man and one woman. God never even put this in here thinking for a second that we would not understand that He made us male and female, and you can't put 2 females together or 2 males together and produce children. That don't work. It cannot happen. It can't happen. And so marriage is honorable in all. But the bed is undefiled, but the whoremonger. Now, you know who the whoremongers are? Those are homosexuals. That's who the whoremonger is. Homosexuals. But the whoremongers and the adulterers, God will judge. Is that what He said? You know, you don't have to worry about nothing. God's in control. I was telling somebody earlier, I don't like to talk about the government much, but I'm going to tell you this. When I was a young man, I read in the school that I went to that the Supreme Court, which is supposed to be the most sophisticated and most educated court in the land, they made a decree that if you're black, you're not a human being. Did you know that was decided? Did you ever hear that? The Supreme Court used to say, if you're black, you're not a human being. You look like a human being. You don't look any different than anybody else, except your skin's black and mine's white. Does that change whether we're a human being or not? Not at all. But the law of the land The Supreme Court, years ago, made a decision that if your skin is black, you're not a human being, you have no rights. Well, they were wrong. And then they made a decision that if you're a fetus, you're not a human being, and it's okay to kill you. And we're still living with that one, aren't we? The greatest court in the land is killing babies. There should, all abortions, they should be outside the church. For God's sake, there should never be an abortion in the church. That should never happen. First of all, anybody that's a Christian that's in the church should never have sex with somebody they're not married to, number one. And if you do have sex with somebody you're married to and you have a child, you should thank God that He's sending you a beautiful child. Oh, I got to tell you this right quick. We had a case here a while back that a couple, they were looking for a baby, and they were married, and they were looking for a baby girl, the mother especially. The mother wanted a baby girl. The daddy was okay with anything, but the mother, she wanted a girl. And she was just telling everybody she's going to have a girl. And then when the baby was born, it was a boy. And she's unhappy that she had this baby boy. I didn't want a boy, I wanted a girl. She'd already bought everything for a girl. And after 8 days of grumbling and complaining, the little child's face broke out with eczema all over it. Somebody said, now what caused that? Her grumbling and complaining is what caused that. That mother was told the reason that child just broke out with eczema is because you're complaining instead of praising God for this child that God gave you. He has stricken this child with this eczema, and you need to repent. And she did, and she repented. And then the husband was told, you're the spiritual head of the house. Your wife's the one done all the grumbling and complaining. She's repented. You need to pray over your baby to be healed. And daddy prayed over that child, and right before everybody's eyes, the child was instantly healed. I've got pictures of that child. People say God would never do that to a child. You don't know Him very well. Guarantee He'll do it. He means what He says, just like this right here. The whoremonger and the adulterer, I'll judge them, and He will, and He judges them many ways. If you don't want your children to be judged, you don't want you to be judged, you want to be blessed and walk in divine health, you're going to have to get in the book and do what the book says. And then when you pray, you've got to believe. With how much doubt in your heart? How much? That's what this girl said up here in the front. Is that what the Word of God says? No, you can't waver at all. Is that what it really said? Oh, surely God wouldn't expect me to believe with no doubt in my heart. I mean, He's only God, isn't He? He does, doesn't He? And I'm sure that's why He expects you and me to have no wavering. Because when we come to Him, we ain't going to a physical doctor, are we? Who are we going to? The Creator God. The King of the universe. Is that right? The one that spoke and the worlds came into existence. What can He do? Man, I mean, He can do... You know what Ephesians 3:20 says? Okay, put it on the board for me. Ephesians 3:20. Look at this. Now unto Him that is able to do... What? Exceedingly... abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Where's that power working? It's supposed to be in us. Well, what if you ain't got none of that? What if you ain't got no word in you? You ain't got no power in you. You got two or three scriptures in your heart? You ain't got no power in you. What if you got 500 scriptures in your heart? Now you're beginning to get dangerous. What if you got 5,000 hidden in your heart? You're really dangerous now. I mean, you can do things. Just to give you an example, the other day we were going up to Home Depot to buy some stuff for the church. And we were talking about Jesus all over the place, all of us. We started to check out. There's a little lady, Spanish lady. I said, ma'am, is something wrong with you? I've got a splitting migraine headache. And Dave, being the nice, gentle Dave he is, he said, ma'am, can we pray for you? And as he says that, I'm on the way over there. I grab her right on top of the head. Just as Dave says, can we pray for you? She says, no. I said, oh, ma'am, I'm sorry. It's too late. You're already healed. I said, your headache's gone, isn't it? It is. I said, see, honey, that's how much Jesus loves you. When we do something in faith, he always shows up. And you know how much fun that is to see the King show up on deals like that?
Yeah.
I love seeing Jesus show up, don't you, young lady?
Amen.
It's worth obeying the Master and doing what he says, right?
Yes, it is.
It is. It's so wonderful that if we will do what he says and we find his scripture. I mean, you know, think of some of these scriptures. For some of you that might need something in the next week or two, I want you right now to think, and I want you to, when you got a scripture, I want you to hold up your hand, and then I want you to tell me that scripture and where it's found. Which scripture are you going to use, or could you use, to get your answer for whatever from God? Think about that. I want you to think. I want you to think about a scripture. I want you to tell me that scripture. I want you to either read it out of your Bible or quote it to me. Some scripture that you could use to base your faith on if you need something from God. What scripture would you use? What's in that? What now? John 16, 33. What does that say? Amen. Okay. Anybody have another one? Okay, sir. Wow. And how many of your ways? All your ways. So everything you go to do, you need to talk to him, don't you? And he will do that. And boy, that Proverbs 3 and 4, I love both those Proverbs 3 and 4. Goes down through there, he says, to them that finds my words and obeys them. Isn't that something? To them that finds my words and obeys them, it will bring radiant health to all your flesh and a long life to you. Do you like that?
Amen.
Amen. I really love that. That's written in the Word. Lord, thank you that you said, to them that find your word. Well, how am I going to find his word? I'm going to be out there mining like silver and gold, right? I'm going to be digging in that book. Because if I'm find, what if I don't find these words? It don't work, does it? No, God's a faith God. And if you don't get in his word and find his word and you don't study his word, you're going to be sick a long time. You know, you're going to have to find you a good man or woman that knows how to pray the prayer of faith. And then God still may not heal you. He may start the healing, and it may drag out for months because you don't know his word. But does that mean he won't heal you? No. Get in the word. Start hiding the word in your heart, seeking God. How many months did it take me to get my granddaughter just the little flapper valve fixed? How long did that take? Almost a year. Over 10 months. Now, honey, would you call that diligence?
Yes.
You see what I mean? But I didn't want my granddaughter to be fed with a flapper valve for all of her life. I knew the promises were in there. And I just knew that I hadn't hit it just exactly like God required. But when I finally did, wow, he healed that little girl. And boy, let me tell you, that little girl knows how to eat now. I mean, you know, she's a beautiful little girl. She's a slim, trim little girl. But she's 17 years old. And I mean, she rides her horse. And I don't know if... any of you see us on the Sid Ross Show in the last 4 or 5 months? You did? Did you see her riding her horse? On that? Is she a beautiful little girl? Sure. It's just amazing what God will do for us if we're prepared, if we hide the Word in our heart. But this, those scriptures in Proverbs both 3, 4, and 5, there's some awesome ones in there, but the one I like about that the best is to them that finds my Word and obeys them. It will bring radiant health to all your flesh and a long life to you. Wow. Praise God. Anybody else? Somebody else got another scripture you're going to stand on. What are you going to use? Oh, you got one? What is it?
Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Amen.
Amen. You see how when you come to God, since he says, don't come to me without faith. If you just say, Lord, I need some help. I need you to help me. That's like, I'll tell you, when I learned about how important faith was, one night I was going home with my wife and daughter, my wife and my two children, and we get down to Granbury, Texas, down south of Fort Worth, and my little car, the fuel pump quit working on it. I coasted off into a little parking area there, a little shopping mall, and I got out and I raised the hood, and I had a few wrenches. I took the air cleaner off, and I took the gas line out, and I said, honey, turn the starter over and I see if any gas come out. She spun it over, not a drop of gas. I knew the fuel pump was bad. No gas. I said, shucks. Here I am in Granbury, Texas, 9 o'clock at night on Friday night, probably in a fuel pump this side of Fort Worth for this car. I said, Lord, I'm dead in the water. What am I going to do? You know, have you ever talked to God like that and really not expecting Him to answer at all? He said, son, didn't I tell you in my word you could ask for anything and I would do it? Did He say that? I said, yes, Lord, you did. So He said, what do you want? Well, I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to give me enough gas to run 50 miles an hour until I get my wife and my children home. Tomorrow I'll put a fuel pump on my car. Put the air cleaner back on it, put the gas line back on it, closed the hood, put my tools up, got them, sat down under the seat. My wife said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going home. She said, I thought you said the fuel pump don't work. I said, it don't. And I hit the starter, and it started. We backed out. We drove down the road 35 miles an hour till we come to the edge of town. And we're fixing to have to change my battery.
No.
I'm still good. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. So anyway, I got out the edge of town. Speed limit went up to 55. So I pushed it down, and it would run 50. And I got to a hill, and it went up the hill at 50. And I started down the other side, and I got to the bottom of the hill with it on the floorboard, and it's still only running 50. I said, now, Lord, you made me an engineer, and I'm a mechanic and everything else, and so I know it takes more gas to run 50 miles an hour uphill than it does downhill, so why does my car only run 50 miles an hour? He said, son, you ask for 50. I am a faith God, and you don't get nothing except what you ask for in faith. That taught me a tremendous lesson. So, what do I get? I've had people come in here and say, well, I need to be healed. What's wrong with you? Oh, I got this little problem. And I say, okay, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for healing that little eye or whatever it is. I said, it's done. Thank you, Lord. I said, do you believe it? Yes, sir, I believe it. Tomorrow night they come back and say, my God, I got healed instantly whenever you prayed for me. Tonight I got this. I said, why didn't you ask me about all that yesterday? Well, I thought God could only heal maybe one thing at a time. Now you see how little we know about God? Do you think there's any problem with Him healing everything from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet? No. So if I ask the Lord to heal everything from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, you know I'm being moved by the Spirit of God. And He's asking me to do that because you may ask for something with your ears. You don't know there's something in your heart wrong.
Yeah,
but He does.
Exactly.
So if I say, Father, in Jesus' name, do a complete Jesus overhaul on this little daughter of yours from the top of her head all the way to the bottom of her feet. He said, now, son, we got it. And so He just heals everything. And the things that you didn't even know about get healed. And you don't even know He healed them.
Yeah.
I've seen that many times with God. I've prayed over people, especially older people. You know, that's back whenever you were 60, you were old. You know, when I was a young boy, 30 years old, 35 years old, if you were 60, man, you were over the hill. You were ancient. But now that I got 76, in fact, I got so tickled at Cheryl the other day. She said, some lady there was 60, what, 4 or 5, whatever, and she was having all kinds of problems. And after we prayed for her and she left, she said, oh, honey, that woman is so old. I said, what? She said, that woman is so old. She was 64. I said, and how old are you? She said, oh, my gosh, I'm 60. I said, yes, you are 60. I said, so she wasn't so old after all. But, you know, if we're still in good health and we get on up there, sometimes we think, I'm not old. And I'm not old. I don't feel like I'm old. You know, I feel like I'm still a young man. the Lord. I don't know what's going on with the sound, but I think it's fixing to quit. But anyway, it's doing pretty good. Oh, my goodness gracious, alive. I didn't. You want that? Okay, take it off if you like. Praise the Lord. Okay, here. Okay, praise the Lord. Anyway, I'm just winding up here a little bit as well. Speak loud. Hey, praise God. What's going on? But something is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We rebuke the enemy. Command him to get his hands off the microphone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, praise the Lord. Now then, we were in the process of finding you a scripture to base your faith on when you come up for prayer. Make sure you've got a scripture. You know, be ready with something, because God says if you don't come to him in faith, you don't please him. If you don't please him, guess what you're going to get? Nothing. He's the healer, not me. I'm just a messenger boy. He does all the healing. I don't do any healing at all. Jesus does it all. But you need to please him. And then after you leave here, you must make sure you believe with no doubt in your heart. And you can't just believe tonight. You got to continue believing until your healing comes. Now, I had a man the other night. Is the man that gave me the testimony about the sleep apnea, is he here tonight? The man that had the problem with the sleep apnea. No, I think he was from out of town or somewhere, but he was here the first night. I know he was here the first night, because he came up at the end and said, Pastor, I got to tell you my testimony. He says, I had sleep apnea and somebody gave me some of your teachings. He said, I listened to them for months, built my faith mountain high. So one night I decided I'm taking that thing off. I'm not going to have sleep apnea no more. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. It's done. I laid that thing down, said I'm never going to put that back on. He said, I went to sleep, slept a few minutes, and woke up gasping for air. He said, I was just coughing. So it felt like I was going to die. And he said, I began to rebuke the enemy, and I got okay, and said, I went through the night, and several times I did that. And said, one night I said, Lord, what is the problem? What is causing this problem? And he said, I went to bed, and I said, Lord, I will never use that machine again. I'm going to sleep without it. If you've already bore my sickness and removed my disease, then I should not have to use this thing in Jesus' name. And he said, I said, Lord, show me what the problem is. And he said, I went back to sleep and said, that time when I woke up gasping for breath, I woke up just in time to see a demon taking his hand off of my nose. He was strangling me, a demon. He said, now I've got it. I not only have the faith, but I know what's doing it. I know it's a demon. I know I got all power and authority over this demon, according to Luke 10:19-20. He said, I rebuke that devil of hell. I command him to get his filthy hands off me and go to the abyss and never come back. He said, sir, I went to bed that night, and I've never used that machine again, and I've never had sleep apnea again. He told me that testimony the first night. There's one thing that he did that I've not mentioned at all in this meeting. And I'm going to mention it before I quit. It's so important. If something happens and you're getting well, but you're having problems and you repented of all sin and the problem keeps coming back and being persistent, you need to know Matthew 11:12. That's a very important scripture. Matthew 11:12. I want you to see what Matthew 11:12 says. Look at this. Matthew 11:12 in the King James Bible. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven. Where is the kingdom of heaven? It's us. It's in us. We are the kingdom of heaven. From the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven, which is in us, has suffered violence. Who do we suffer violence from? The enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And it says, and the violent take it by force. And that doesn't mean, like this woman in Dallas that had a 16-year-old son that had a brain problem that knocked off his, whatever you call that nerve in there, and he went totally blind, went with his 16. She brought the boy to me, and I went over the Word of God. I broke the curses over that boy. I spent about 4 hours with her and that boy that afternoon. And after about 4 hours, I said, okay, now I'm going to kick this devil out of you. And I started praying for the boy, rebuking the devil, quoting Luke 10, 19, and 20, and Mark 16, 17, and 18, and demanding and commanding the devil to leave this boy and to go to the pit of hell and to never come back in the name of Jesus. And I was bold and forceful. In Jesus' name, I command you to come out of him and leave him in Jesus' name. I know this scripture, Matthew 11, 12. Finally, after about four total hours of teaching and proclaiming over this young boy and holding his head and commanding demons to come out of him, I finally said, I need a break. I'm going to stop and take a drink of water. And she said, Mr. Scrivener, can I do that for a little while? I said, sure, honey, go ahead. I walk off and she walks up and she puts her hands on his head and said, Mr. Devil, will you please leave my son? I told her, that's okay, honey, just forget it. Do you think the devil was intimidated with that? He knew she had no idea who she was. You know, you got to know who you are. You got to know you're a son of God or a daughter of God. You got to know the power has been given to you. You got to know that power is in you. And if you ain't got the word hidden in you, then it ain't in you. But if you got that scripture hidden in your heart, you know the Bible's true. And you know it means what it says. So you take that thing away, just like that man did the other night. I wished I'd had him give that testimony after he told me. But he said, I had to get violent with that devil. And when I finally got violent, said, I will never let you do this to me again in the name of Jesus. I am not going to have sleep apnea. I will never use that machine again. I am healed because Jesus Christ bore my sickness and removed my disease on the cross. It's done in Jesus' name. And he got his healing. You see what I mean? Learn to be persistent. But most people are saying, oh God, if it be your will you please heal me or take away my pain? This girl back here is just laughing. Have you been like that, young lady?
No.
No, you have not. Praise God.
She's got a remarkable faith.
She's got great faith, does she, sir?
Some problems, but that's not one.
Amen. Praise God. Well, let me tell you what. That's the kind of woman to have.
Yeah. Amen.
That's the kind of woman to have. Mine's the same way. I'm telling you, Cheryl, you ought to see her sometimes. In fact, I have seen Cheryl kick devils out of people, and in fact, we had a woman that was, I forget now where we were, up in this part of the world somewhere. And this woman, they brought her in on a bed, a mat, pallet type deal, like a stretcher or something. Cheryl goes over and says, ma'am, did you have any unforgiveness toward anybody? Oh, yeah, she has unforgiveness. Cheryl said, that's why you're on this bed. She said, you need to repent. And who do you have it? She said, my husband. She said, well, you need to forgive your husband and need to love him. And so we did and everything. And of course, we went through the whole meeting and for 2 days. And she was there every day. And at this last day, just like today is the last day, I said, now, if you've already been prayed for, I said, we do have an airplane to catch. And that ain't the case tonight, praise God. But I said, we did have an airplane to catch. So I said, if you've been prayed for once, don't come back up. She had somebody bring her up on that mat. And she said, Pastor, I know I was prayed for the first night, but she said, your wife asked me if I had any unforgiveness. She said, I forgave my husband, but I've not been able to walk. But she said, in the last 2 nights, I've never heard anybody say that grumbling and complaining was a sin. And she said, I grumble and complain about everything. She said, I have repented. And she said, and nobody ever told me that I had to submit to my husband because I never do anything. When I was able to walk, I never did anything he asked me to do. I always did what I wanted to do. So she said, I didn't know that was a sin. So she said, I have asked God to forgive me for all of those sins. Man, I prayed for her. When I got through praying for her, my wife grabbed her and said, get up. You've healed. We ain't going to let you go. We're going to walk you. And so Cheryl was persistent. She got a hold of that woman, picked her up, stood her up, and I'm there and I got 100 people to pray for. And I says, okay, let's take her down the stairway here. So we started walking real slow. And she took little bitty steps, kind of like this. But she's moving her legs just barely. And then she gets back here a little way. She's like this. And then she's like this. And then she's running out the back door. And she gets wild. And when all of a sudden, everybody in the place, when they saw that woman break and run, they just all jumped up and screamed and started praising God. They knew God had healed this woman. The woman went out on the parking lot. I mean, there was a couple of the ushers had to go out there to help her. Because she was running all over the car. She ain't walked in 7 years, I think it was, she had been down. That woman was on fire for Jesus. We left there. We came back 6 months later. That same church invited us back 6 months later. We went back, and my first question to the pastor, how's the woman that had come running out of the church that had, they brought in on a stretcher? He said, Pastor, I don't want to tell you. I said, what do you mean you don't want to tell me? He said, she went home that night walking. And her husband said, what do you mean walking? You know you can't walk. Now she's walking. And he tells you can't walk. He said, you know all them bunch of people that claim to be healers are all of the devil. You know that you can't walk. You know this ain't working. He said, within 1 week, that husband stole her faith and she's back down on that bed. It's terrible to have the wrong kind of faith, isn't it? It's terrible to be married to a man that don't have no faith at all. He can make you sick the rest of your life. And he did that to her. I just can't believe that we can't believe the promises of God. But God is a faith God, ladies and gentlemen, and he expects you to have faith in his word. He expects young people to believe him and to do what he says. And if young people will do what God says, he's got the most awesome promise in the Word. Children, honor your parents in everything. In everything. And everything then will go well with you. And if you obey your parents and do what they say, it'll bring a long life to you. What if you don't? What's the difference between a long life and a short life? And no telling how long that short life might be, right? Yeah, I knew a man one time that his brother died at 45, and he was up now 70, and he's still in perfect health. I just asked a question one night. I said, you know, you ever wonder why you're still in perfect health at 70 and your brother died at 45? He said, no, I never even thought about it. He said he just had a heart attack and died, so it was just a heart attack. I said, no, there's a cause. There's a cause for everything. I said, you're supposed to live more than 45 years. The Word says you're supposed to live at least 70. And maybe 80. I said, let me ask you a question. How do you treat your parents at home? Oh, he said, I always did everything mom and dad asked. I love mom and dad. I treat them with the greatest respect. I said, well, and you're 70. And you hadn't had no physical problems. I said, how about your brother? He said, yeah, I never thought about that. You know, my brother was always saying, old man, what do you want? When dad would tell him something, he never showed dad any respect. Old man, what do you want? I said, that's not very nice to talk to your dad like that. He said, but that's the way my brother was. He said, he always talked to mom and dad like that. He never honored them. I said, and you see what happened? He died at 45. He didn't make it. Does God's word mean what it says? Amen. It means exactly what it says. So anybody in here that wants to be healed, I want you to make sure you got a scripture. You got some kind of a promise that will get you healed. I want you to have something to base your faith on. Even if you only got one scripture, make sure you got at least one. If you got one scripture that you can base your faith on, then you can come against the enemy with that faith, that one faith scripture, and you can overcome the enemy and get healed. And then make sure that if you got any kind of sin in your life, you've confessed that sin. And don't think for a minute God don't know everything you've done all your life. He's got a good record. You can't get by with nothing. He knows every word you've ever spoken. He's got it recorded. And he says, we will stand in judgment for every idle word that we speak. Isn't that something? That he's got everything recorded? So make sure you've confessed every sin. You got rid of those sins. And then when you're prayed for, as you walk out the door, what should you be saying? Praise God, I'm healed. It's written in the Word, I believe the Lord. I'm healed. Tomorrow, somebody says, well, you don't look any better than you did yesterday. I said, that's okay. I don't go by what I look like or I feel like. I'm standing on the written Word of the living God. Amen. You see what I mean? That's it. And when you stand on the living Word of the living God, what will happen to you? You'll get healed, won't you? Well. Yes, you will. See, God, just like Dave, if David had said, I'm not healed the first day, it took 20 months to get him healed. 20 months. Many people we pray for takes a day or a week. When I prayed for Philip, the guy that they had the picture on Sid Roth when we was on there, Philip, they didn't do him justice with the warts. Philip had hundreds of warts on his body. I mean hundreds. But yet in 4 weeks, not overnight, but in 4 weeks, he didn't have a wart or a scar. Everywhere that even burned them off, they come. The scars even came off, because I asked the Lord to take off the scars, and he did. Isn't that amazing that we can ask God for anything, and he'll do it when you come to him in faith with all your sins confessed? So make sure you've got every sin confessed, and don't try to hide one. Make sure you confess it, because he knows what you're doing anyway. And then make him a promise, you ain't going to do it no more. You're going to walk in love. You're going to do what he says. You're going to do exactly what the Word of God says. And if you're not spending an hour or two a day in the Word, tell him, Lord, help me that I can spend more time in your Word. Because I know that's why I have no power, is because I do not know your Word. So I want to hide your Word in my heart, because you told me to hide your Word in my heart. Is that what he said? Sure. So hide your Word. Hide his Word in your heart. And then, when we pray for you in faith, Sharon. When I prayed for Sharon 12 years ago, she had brain tumors. She was 45 years old or whatever, 50 years old. Couldn't even drive her car. Some of you may have had Sharon pray for you. If you've called our ministry, you could very well have gotten Sharon. But whenever Sharon come to me, she said, Pastor, I want you to know before you pray for me, I've never heard the Word of God taught like this ever in my life. But she said, I go to a big church and said, I have been prayed for well over 100 times with no results. I said, well, Sharon, the first thing I want to ask you, did you repent of your sin that you committed? I said, how long have you been sick? She said, 30 years. 30 years. I said, did you commit that sin you committed 30 years ago? She said, I guess not. I said, do you know what you did 30 years ago? She said, yes, I do. In fact, she said, when I was just a late teenager, I moved in with a boy for a little while that I wasn't married to. How many of y'all know that sin? See, she didn't realize that was sin. But she repented. She said, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for doing that. And then I said, what scripture did you use to base your faith on? Scripture? We never used the scripture. I said, and you see what you got? You didn't use the Word of God. So what'd you get? Nothing. I said, so let's find us a scripture. So we did. We found a scripture, like Matthew 18, 19 or something. I said, now, Sharon, nobody's ever prayed for you in faith. I'm going to pray for you in faith. I'm going to guarantee you my Jesus is going to heal you. And that day, Sharon Jones was completely healed from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. That's been, again, about 12 years ago. And that woman now works for us in the ministry. I mean, she prays for people all the time, just like Dave, you know. Dave and Jeff, you know, Jeff was sick at one time. Jeff overcome his sickness. These guys know how to pray the prayer of faith for you. So tonight, when you come for prayer, I want you to make sure that you have confessed every sin. And the sin of unbelief is a big one. That one about you must believe with no doubt in your heart, that's a big one. Get rid of that. Kick that thing out in the name of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm going to believe your promises. And I'm going to stand on this promise. And then you come to him on behalf of a promise in the Word of God. And then when one of us guys, all of us, Keith, me, Dave, Jeff, when we pray for you, you must believe that you've received from God your promise with no doubt in your heart. So as you walk out, somebody says, what were you prayed for? Oh, I was prayed to have this. Well, what do you think you got? Man, I don't think I got it. I know I got it. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Not because of what Thurman did, what the Word says. You see what I mean? You ain't standing on Thurman's Word. You're standing on God's Word for your healing. Is that right? It ain't me. I'm just a messenger boy. But God will heal you.